It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 25th day of February, 2022, the final Friday of February. That's a lot of F's. F's. This is the Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia conversation that takes place in this on this program in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday. 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the Great Globe Round. Hi, I'm Robin. If you pop in right now to the chat room, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Kid Mark and Squeaky and Stockton Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. Well... I think we're going to have another dandy conversation. Last night was a really good round table. Again, encouraging on this Friday on the front porch, more women to get involved with the conversation. I think the perspective is badly needed, and we would all benefit from it. We will get the front porch conversation going in about 55 minutes or so. Hopefully. See what's on everybody's mind. I've got a roasty, toasty, creamy cup of decaf. Because it's really... it's 60 degrees in here and kind of brisk. And I've turned the heater off so that we won't have the roar from that. Just to sort of keep the audio quality a little bit better. And of course, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our 25th day of the month subscribers. And that means that we say thank you in particular to, we say thanks to Mark and to Mark. The 25th of the month is Mark and Mark Day. Thank you to Peter. Thank you, Peter. Well, thank you for being partial sponsors of the program. And we'll do our thank yous for the Patreon subscribers on the last day of the month, like we always do. Thank you so very kindly, all of you, for keeping all of this going. So where does that leave us? Well, bottom line is, and thank you to an anonymous friend who knows who they are for a have a show on me for the end of the month. That means that, yeah, we are down to it just to finish... to finish fundraising to the good for the month of February, we're down to $6.99. And that would be, that's kind of a Friday on the front porch community-made miracle. Sure is. But hopefully we can reach it and we won't have to sweat. If we do that, then heck, we can have a fundraising-free last day of February come Monday. Wouldn't that be nice? I'd love that. So, it being Friday on the front porch, and I'm, Well, there's other stuff going on in the world that we can discuss. And I'm sure we will want to talk about more, you know, some more war. I find it difficult and painful to talk about. Oddly enough, I saw a graphic earlier today on MSNBC, and it said, people killed, like, I'm making up the number, but it was less than 100, people killed, 67. Soldiers killed, 157. And I realized they, but is our vocabulary, has it become so stunted that we've forgotten the word civilians? Or how about the word innocence? And we need to understand that Vlad Putin is a slaughterer of innocence, just like we were in 2003 when we killed 1 million innocent non-combatant Iraqis. And the fact that we did that does not mean that we cannot complain when he does it. We need to be a little bit more rational about this. If it had been up to us, we never would have attacked Iraq, but, well, Dick Cheney didn't have a heart, and W. Bush had a heart on. Sorry. I'll try not to do too much of that this evening. We can be better. And by the way, with regard to the fundraising goal, we can knock down, thank you, Rico. We can knock down a sizable chunk of it, because I had a note just before airtime. My God, what have we become, challenge? Greetings, my lustrous and beauteous queen. Well, thank you. Everybody like me, who is a thinking, caring human, and we know who that excludes, is heartsick and angry over the sick, soulless man's incursion into hell. No words, really just a deep sadness for the poor, helpless innocents in Ukraine. Quote Dylan in The Masters of War, and I hope that in The Masters of War, and I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I'll follow your casket by the pale afternoon, and I'll watch while you're lowered down to your deathbed, and I'll stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead. God damn us. So I'm putting up a $100 challenge in prayer for the Ukrainian people. Love you, Robin, and the whole community for being lovely, caring human beings. Signed, Rico, in the sad, cold, gloomy, and somehow still quiescent Berg. Thank you, Rico. Thank you so much. That would get us down to only $4.99 to finish the month, and that's profound. Thank you so very much. So let's please don't let that challenge go unanswered. That matching gift go unanswered. I hope we can knock it down, because welcome to my world. Last night after airtime, I went out. I looked at Annette and I said, "Oh, what would you like to eat?" And she said, "Oh, I don't know, something with chicken." I said, "Want some of those chicken bites from Domino's?" She said, "I guess." I said, "I'll get a pizza." She said, "Okay." So I hurriedly tried to do something about my face and got dressed and went out to the car, and it was cold and sloppy and wet and miserable. Got in the car, pressed the start button, and it went click, 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 and we all know what that means. Click, 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 click. That battery is deader than Pharaoh's cat. So I've got that to deal with this weekend. I mean, I've never had to put a battery in this car, and we've had it since, 2018 or something? Maybe 2019? So I got to do that. It died on it. The battery went south on us in the day we left Birmingham. Then it did it again a couple of days ago, and it was like, "Oh, please, just wait till I can get over and buy a fucking battery, please." But no. So I'm gonna make sure I've got a solid jump from Ferg tomorrow, and I'm gonna go over to AutoZone or where the hell ever and. Buy the best, cheapest battery I can find, and best and cheapest are probably mutually exclusive. But anyway, that's part of why we need to reach the fundraising goal. Oh, God. And meanwhile, from Joey, subject line, driving us into a ditch. Jeffrey leads off the day. It appears President Biden has picked his nominee for the Supreme Court, and quite frankly, I could care less, because those very qualified women, Ketanji Brown Jackson, will effectively have no voice on the Supreme Court, considering a couple of the current court members were elevated to the highest court unjustly. Effectively, the voice for minorities, working people, and frankly the majority of people in this country will not be heard with the two recent seats being stolen. This is like scoring a touchdown late in the game when you're down 21-0, virtually meaningless. Well, it is, it feels that way, but it's not entirely meaningless. I mean, after, let's see, 1787, so that's 13, 213, 215, 235 years after the ratification of the Constitution, we will finally have a black woman on the court. And that cannot be understated. Junior, meanwhile, has a court report.
So what you're saying, Daddy, is one more time, in one more case or venue, blacks and other minorities will have little or no voice, and the issues they raise will have no significance.
Well, Jess, Junior, your summation is quite accurate, as once again the minority and majority in this country will be ruled by the small minority consisting of six white men on the Supreme Court. Jeffrey, did you just misgender Amy COVID Barrett, or were you referring to her husband who has to okay everything that she does in her weird cult religion? Well, at this point, it doesn't appear that Trump will be riding down I-95 with OJ-esque-type police chases. After the prosecutors in Manhattan have recently resigned, just like OJ literally got away with murder, so too. It appears that DJ Trump will get away with all his crimes without even having to be arrested, bailed out of jail, or stand trial. Well, Jeffrey's got a ride share on this.
I can just envision the whole entire situation, DJ Trump in a white Bronco heading down to Miami on I-95 in an attempt to outmaneuver the authorities. The original driver of the Bronco would have been Mike Pence, but he fucked up and didn't overturn the election. Instead of Mike Pence, some have suggested possibly having Rudy drive the vehicle. But Rudy appears potentially too senile or just too fucked up in general to be able to handle any vehicle, including a small motorized scooter often used to get around Manhattan. Yes, I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, really believe the best driver for the DJ White Bronco chase would be none other than Jim Jacket Off Jordan. I could just envision this obnoxious, overbearing, boisterous bully driving with his sports coat stuck to the radio antenna of the Bronco, blowing like a flag in the wind as the vehicle races down I-95. There would be McDonald's hamburger wrappers flying out the window with DJ in the back threatening to eat an entire bag of double cheeseburgers if the police get too close. Jim Jacket Off Jordan would be yelling into his cell phone to have the cops back off because Donald has a weapon in his hand. And for Donald, literally, the next cheeseburger could kill him since he's so physically out of shape. Jim Jacket Off Jordan would yell into the dispatch, "You know who the fuck I am? I'm DJ's driver, the most influential member of Congress, and if you don't back off, Donald's going to kill himself." The dispatcher would say, "Does the passenger have a lethal weapon in his possession? "Of course he has a lethal weapon. He has several of them. He has at least 12 double cheeseburgers, and he's threatening to eat them all."
Speaking of Florida, it was on this day in 1913 that the 16th Amendment was ratified, which paved the way for the United States to adopt the collection of income tax. Jeffrey with a taxing thought.
Today, Rick Scott is celebrating this day because in his recent 10 or 11 bullet point plan, he argued that everybody should pay income taxes. Well, just for your information, Rick Scott, your state doesn't have a state income tax. So, Rick, why don't you first mandate a state income tax in your state and see how well that works out for you? See if you get reelected with that mantra. Scott, you're such a hypocrite. You know people making big money, like athletes, reside in your state to avoid paying income tax, but you want people, especially the middle class, poor and elderly, to pay more. Gee, Rick, haven't you ripped off the elderly enough with your company's largest theft of Medicare a few years ago?
Now, speaking of Russian invasions, on this day in 1921, the capital of the Republic of Georgia was seized by a Bolshevik army. It took the Republic of Georgia 70 years to regain its independence from the Soviets in 1991.
Did DJT not try to do his own takeover of Georgia himself, the Georgia election system? Effectively, what Donald did worked because they've gotten rid of Brad Raffensperger and installed Republicans who will likely manipulate the system in favor of the next Republican.
Oh, there she is. Here now is Joey Two, the kangaroo.
On this day in 1920, Sir Joseph Cook, the Minister of the Australian Navy, defended Australia's right to cast one vote in the League of Nations. A decision had not been made at this time one way or another. In the speech made by Cook, he stated his country had lost more lives during World War I than the Americans had, and Australia desired to have an independent voice away from the British in the League. Australia was and is one of the most progressive countries in the world, and this was reflected as the first vote in the League of Nations came from the woman, Marguerite Dale, in 1922. Well, nice job, Joey Two the Kangaroo.
Thank you.
This has been Joey's Journal for Friday, the 25th of February, 2022, with Giraffe watching Republicans like Jim Jacket Off Jordan drive this country right into another ditch. $10 ditch the Republicans challenge is consequently on the table. So that means we got $110 worth of challenges. That means $220 that we could knock out of the $699 we've got to go. $699, $499, $470. No, that would get us down to $479, and that would be fantastic. So hopefully we get that going. And by the way, just in terms of war news, Jeremy in Vermont reminds us it was reported earlier this morning, our time, 3:30 a.m. or so, that this plane crashed and it had 14 crew members on it. It was the world's largest transport plane. It could hold a train locomotive with no issues. A Ukrainian Air Force Antonov An-225 was destroyed in a crash landing on a field in the Kiev region with 14 people on board. Yeah, well, I think by this hour, I took a quick look right before airtime. At this hour, Putin's gang of murderous thugs are in. They've reached Kyiv. And that's well. It's a war crime. It's a war crime. Randy Radar observing, by the way, Putin may have initially been fooled by Trump's probable double agent status, but by now I'm sure that he's got back channel information that says he no longer has power over him. Who no longer has power over whom? You mean Putin no longer has power over... I wouldn't be so sure. Remember what Trader Tot said. Trader Tot said that all of their funding, or oodles of their funding, came from Russian oligarchs. I saw one story earlier today that says that, I guess, and now you know it's war. Those sanctions are working because of the sanctions imposed on the two biggest banks in Russia. I guess Apple Pay doesn't work there now? Oh, no. What the? Are we having website problems? Let me take a quick look. Never a dull moment. Which website, Irish Dave? The horn page loads just fine and dandy for me. Oh, well. So, as Joey alluded, we have Ketanji Brown Jackson to talk about today. And the hissies have already I've already started in that regard. I saved that story. I'm saving that story for the Malloy Show. I'll be filling in for Mike again this evening as he recovers from some dental work. What's that, Brother Deacon? Yeah, Horn Page is loading fine for me, too. I'm not quite sure what Irish Dave was talking about. So, like I said, going to be kind of a busy evening. But, hey, let's look around for something that isn't the war. How about we go to Kentucky Stan? That sounds like a good time. Republicans being Republicans. So, Republican lawmakers in Kentucky Stan have apologize as best a Republican can. In a report from the Lexington Herald Leader, Representing Walker Thomas, he's a Republican from Kentucky, was talking about leasing agreements with the Kentucky Capital Projects and Bond Oversight Committee. Wow, doesn't that sound exciting? No, not really. They were, he and his colleague, Senator Rick Girdler, and the other guy, Walker Thomas, in a discussion about the Kentucky Capital Projects and Bond Oversight Committee, they said, in this discussion, they said to, Walker Thomas said, "Well, you know what? I think we could probably jew them down on the price." And Senator Rick Girdler, said, "We got a representative up here asking if you could jew them down a little bit on the price." But he's a senator, so he realized he'd screwed up, and he said, that ain't the right word to use. Drop them down, I guess. Oh yeah, and didn't take long for the audio to get public, and it took even less long for the American Jewish Committee to chime in, pointing out that to tell someone that or to use the phrase "Jew down," it, quote, plays into the trope of Jews as greedy money handlers who are unwilling to part with their earnings. So Walker Thomas issued an apology, sent it to the Lexington Herald Leader, and he said, "I've heard it a lot of times before, but." Now that people are upset about it, I've got to look at it a little bit harder this time. I sincerely regret using that term and apologize to, and see, this is what I meant when I said as much of an apology as a Republican can make. He should have said, "I sincerely regret using that term and apologize, period." But Republicans don't do that. They always issue non-apology apologies. "I sincerely regret using that term and apologize to anyone harmed by my use of it." That's the same as saying "I apologize to anyone who was offended," which puts, of course, it puts the logical burden on the person and on the person who was offended, because, well, I mean, "I'm sorry I used it if you were offended." No. "This is not who I am, nor is it what my faith leads me to be." Oh, yes, it is, Walker. "It is a phrase I've heard throughout my life, but this experience has provided me with an opportunity to reflect on the impact that words have and the fact that we must be smarter today than we were yesterday." Ain't gonna happen.
I apologize if anybody was offended. The thing is, what he said was offensive. Full stop. That's some nasty business.
No word yet from Girdler. Because, you know, he caught himself quick, like saying, that ain't the right word to use. It drop them down, I guess. We don't, do we? We don't have to go into great detail as to why this is an offensive ethnic slur, do we? I hope.
I don't know. Are there any atheists at all in the Kentucky legislature? Are there any Jews? Muslim, maybe?
Atheists, Muslims, Jews, maybe could say, you know what? I'm in agreement with Walker Thomas. And I think over there at the Capital Projects and Bond Oversight Committee, they need to Christian them down a little bit. They need to evangelical them down some. Maybe then he'd figure out that it's not exactly decent.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of evangelicals, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, decided that he was going to take a pot shot at Jen Psaki. Like I keep saying, like with regard to Jen Psaki, with regard to AOC, who both of whom are so much better at social media than Ted Cruz or Cancun, you'd think they'd learn, but they don't. Ted Cruz referred to Jen Psaki, a strong, capable, competent woman, as Peppermint Patty. Because he thinks he's so, I guess he thinks he's cute. Jen Psaki, of course. Pure class. She responded to Rafaelito's juvenile taunt when asked. A reporter asked her during the press conference yesterday. The reporter said, Well, here, let's just go to the original.
Senator Ted Cruz is speaking at CPAC, and you came up. He called you, quote-unquote, Peppermint Patty, and has encouraged people to boo you. So I wanted to...
Don't tell him I like Peppermint Patty. So I'm not going to take it too offensively. Senator Cruz, I like Peppermint Patty. I'm a little tougher than that, but there you go.
Ow. Of course, when and you have to you have to take into account that in the circles that Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, moves in, they have long said that Peppermint Patty. Because remember, they have this unhealthy fascination with determining the sexuality of cartoon characters and other fictitious critters, going all the way back to Jerry Falwell declaring that Tinky Winky was gay. Much Sturm und Drang over SpongeBob and Patrick. And in right-wing circles, it's been it's an article of faith, really, an article of faith that Peppermint Patty's a lesbian. Not that because to them that's a slur. Imagine thinking Charles Schulz was recruiting for the LGBTQ agenda, him being long dead and all, because she and Marcy were friends. Imagine reading a peanut strip and thinking about sex. I mean, that's just how weird and sick and twisted and bizarre and oh my God Republicans are. But yeah, Peppermint Patty. And Jen Psaki in that clip was just so, and I mean this as a compliment, she was absolutely adorable. She was smiling the whole time. She was trying not to break out laughing at Ted Cruz. Oh, I know. Stephen New York says, please say it ain't so. I stepped away for a second. Did the Kentucky Saltine actually say the J word to replace dicker or bargain? Yeah, he did. He did that. Drawing a distinction with Joey's journal for today, Scott in San Diego says, Trump's Bronco chase, big difference. OJ paid his lawyers. Yeah, that's. I think that's our first cowbell of the evening. Matt in San Francisco, subject line, oligarchs. One side benefit to freezing the Russian oligarchs and Putin's money may be 45 having his cash source cut off. Could be excellent timing considering all the legal trouble that's mounting. Hope it doesn't hurt too little. Oh, I know. But there is a problem because I didn't know enough, and I went around trying to read up a little bit on the SWIFT money transfer system. It's global. And apparently we're having a hard time getting total sign-on to SWIFT, and we're holding it back as a last resort. But the problem with SWIFT is that it would make almost impossible the payment for Russian gas flowing into places like Germany. And that's apparently why the Germans are somewhat hesitant to throw Russia out of SWIFT. And it would also have a kind of a devastating impact because of the amount of natural resources that Russia puts into the stream of commerce, things like aluminum. If I recall correctly, one of Putin's best oligarch buddies is an aluminum oligarch. I think of aluminum, and I still think of Reynolds Metals Company, long since gone, absorbed into Alcoa, the Aluminum Corporation of America. But there's tons and tons of aluminum that come out of Mother Russia. I mean, they don't have much of an economy, but they do have an economy, and they do have stuff we want. Ugh. There is such a thing as an international clearinghouse, Randy Radar says. Is that the same thing as SWIFT? SWIFT is a money transfer, basically electronic money transfer. Oh, my dear, dear, darling Robin Steve says, Peppermint Patty is Lebanese, but she's not Muslim. She's Maronite. They couldn't use the Muslim, so they had to use the Lebanese slur. Yeah. Lebanese lesbian. Let me see what he did. Yeah, that's a gnur, Steve. That's a gnur. But the Kremlin now says through spokesman Pesky Dmitry that, by God, the
By God, the Russia will they'll put sanctions on Western nations too. By God, yeah, no more bad vodka for us. But then again, everybody and their cousin seems to be making vodka these days. Hell, there's a vodka distillery in West Virginia, for God's sakes. The Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said sanctions would cause problems for Russia, but they would be solvable as it had reduced its dependence on foreign imports, which is another way of saying that we have worked a backdoor deal with Xi Jinping in China, who also is another person who is much taller than Vladimir Putin. Poor little dude. No, not a poor little dude. So, that. I hate that, I fucking hate war. But hey, we've got some January 6th insurrectionist news. Remember the picture of the dude bro in the Trump boggin waving at the camera and smiling and carrying Nancy Pelosi's podium? His name's Adam Johnson. And he showed up to be sentenced before Judge Reggie Walton of the D.C. Federal Court, District Court. And Judge Walton said, messages have to be sent. And told Adam Johnson that he had attacked the fundamental fabric of American society. Judge Walton went on to say, that's what we see in countries like what we're experiencing now in Ukraine. That's where we're headed if we don't do anything to stop it. And Johnson, a youngish man of some 37 years, addressed the court and said, well, what I did was foolish, and I take responsibility for my conduct, because I'm doing it so I can be a good example to my five children. And Judge Walton offered up some suggested reading, How Civil Wars Start and the Next Civil War, and then said, I'm going to make sure that you have time to read it. Now, the DOJ had asked for 90 whole days in jail for Adam Johnson, 90 long days. But, well, even though Judge Walton was right pissed with Adam Johnson, he gave him 75 days. And the thing is, those 75 days are among the harshest penalties yet imposed on these people who attacked constitutional governance in the United States of America. Yeah. 75 days in the hole. 75 long, long days. I mean, I'm sure he didn't want to serve even one. But, I mean, what do you suppose the dollar value was of the podium? I mean, when I saw this story, I couldn't help thinking about, you know, when you're getting ready to take the bar exam, you have to go back and relearn all of your, or not relearn, but just, you know, freshen up on all of your statutory definitions of basic offenses. And larceny is defined as stealing, taking, or carrying away goods, property, or services of another with intent to deprive the true owner thereof. And then the distinction between petit larceny and grand larceny is one of dollar value. And I frankly don't know what the dollar value is in the federal larceny statute, but I got I got to think that, you know, a solid wood, well-made podium, complete with expensive microphones attached, and an expensive seal of the Speaker of the House of Representatives thereunto affixed. That's got to be a value of $1,000. And when he was carrying it, he's waving at the damn camera. It seems like with intent to deprive the true owner thereof is, well, self-evident. And that maybe that could have risen to the level of grand larceny. But no. Not to put too fine a point on it, but y'all, they're going to do it again. And in fact, I had a message to that effect from our pal Terrace. Subject line, peabaggers, which is a great term. Peabaggers. As you say, they're going to do it again. The next deadly variant is inevitable with unvaccinated pea partiers. Pea party. Pea baggers, pea partiers. You're rolling, Terrace. Carrying on unmasked. Pro-lifers don't care whether they die or whom they kill because they're going to their long home where... Now, hold on there a gosh darn second. This wine, it tastes like... Coffee breaks over. Back on your heads. Well played, Terrace. Well played. Peabaggers, the pea party. God, why couldn't we have come up with that way back when? But then again, there's never a bad time to mock the pea party. Megan with a note. Fled Cruz. Ha, that's good. Fled Cruz. See what she did there? And Peppermint Patty. Anytime someone tries to insult another with something that isn't really an insult, I just know there's something going on with that person. That being said, do I even need to ask which Pornhub channel Fled Cruz beats off over? Not that I'm some sort of, you know, delicate and fainting flower of femininity, but that I thought it might a little early in the program, but... Okay, there went dinner in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, deader than Pharaoh's cat. 5:43 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and don't blame me, that was Megan. I just read the messages, I don't write them. But there's a lot of people with a really, really revolting mental image right now that they wish wasn't in their brain, Megan. And Megan asking, it couldn't be lesbian porn, could it? Oh, I think it could. I'd put a couple of chips down on the table on betting on that. With a side of, maybe femboy porn too, gay femboy porn. There's such a bunch of goddamn weirdos. Jesus. With regard to the podium, Scott in San Diego says, here's how to figure it. If screwdrivers and toilet seats at the Defense Department are $400 and $800 respectively, I'm guessing a fancy sound-capable podium would be pretty damn pricey. Then there's the symbolic value to consider. I don't think you get to take symbolic value into consideration in the calculation of a larceny charge. But not to worry, there's no larceny charge for Adam Johnson. He was just a misguided little maggot who, if he'll just read a couple of books, will finally understand why he shouldn't have did what he did. And as hard as I tried, Scott adds, I couldn't think of a Peanuts character to call Cruz. Here's why. Charles M. Schulz ran a respectable strip, funny, with healthy dollops of straight-ahead morality, wisdom, and kindness. But if you forced me to, I suppose you could compare Cruz to the crusty mess that lives between Pigpen's toes. God bless America, dinner's taken a hell of a beating this evening. And probably the joy in Ann Arbor's breakfast, too. There goes dinner, says Scott. And breakfast, honey. Saying the quiet part out loud. Exactly. Exactly, Ron and Ron. Well, the Russians, well, they're screwing up off in off the coast of Odessa in Ukraine. A Russian missile went a little, you know, funny, and it hit a cargo ship owned by a Turkish concern. And it's getting a little testy between Russian aircraft and NATO planes. Warships are getting perilously close to each other. Ukraine has a formal request in to the Turkish to close the Dardanelles, so that Russian warships can't get in or out. Remember, Turkey, rather, is a real live, no kidding, member of NATO. That blockade would, of course, be seen as an act of war. But the goal would be to keep Russian warships that are out in the Mediterranean from transiting through the straits of the Bosporus and the Dardanelles into the Black Sea. One gets the idea that this is I don't know. We were talking last night, and I think it was Roger who said, "I just don't see how this doesn't become a war that we're all involved in." And if it didn't go nuclear, how long do you think it would take to beat Putin's Putroopies? How good are they? I don't know. Yeah, see, Randy's there. Randy Radar. There goes the neighborhood. I know. Matt in San Francisco, Ted Cruz, I would guess redheaded dominatrix. Oh, you've been a bad senator. Bad, bad senator. Crack. Thank you, ma'am. May I have another? Then again, Ted Cruz himself is a human butt plug, so what do you want? I mean, since we've already ruined dinner, we might as well just finish the job, right? One of the things I do have in the stack for the Malloy Show is to talk a little bit about the fact that a lot of people who have considerable knowledge about Pootie think that he's pretty much, in the words of Roger Waters in The Wall, truly gone fishing. And, of course, this has to find its way into space. Dmitry Rogozin is the head of the Russian Space Agency. And yesterday, Dmitry Rogozin said that the sanctions could destroy cooperation with International Space Station. John Logsdon, professor and space analyst at George Washington University, speaking to Agence France-Presse, said nobody wants to put the lives of astronauts and cosmonauts in danger by political maneuvering. It was a very conscious decision when Russia was brought into the station partnership in 1994 to make the station interdependent. All because of what Rogozin said. If you block cooperation with us, we will save the ISS from uncontrolled deorbiting and falling on U.S. or European territory. After all, International Space Station does not fly much over Mother Russia.
I hope it doesn't go that far. And by the way, in case anybody's wondering, Dmytro Rogozin isn't really much of a scientist. He's a political appointee. And he's got a history of saying really butch stuff. Yeah. You're all wrong, says Steve in New York, about Rapulito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America. It's more along the lines of the gimp from Pulp Fiction. I think we just ruined my breakfast. Jesus. Oh, yeah. They sell it as Reynolds Wrap here, too. Ace is saying they still sell that aluminum foil under the Reynolds brand out this way. Yeah, it's an iconic brand, so when Alcoa took over, they kept them, you know, bought the brand. Let's see here. Oh, this story has been in the stack for a few days. Are you following this litigation in North Carolina, Stan? It actually gave me a moment's hope. Not too much. I try to keep my hope to a minimum. But the North Carolina Elections Commission has rebuffed that young liar, Madison Cawthorn. You know, he's a member of the House of Representatives. The truth ain't in him. And, of course, he was actively involved in the insurrection against civil constitutional governance in the United States on January 6, 2021. And people have begun saying, you know, we need to use the 14th Amendment to keep that little fucker from ever holding office again. Because there's a clause that says that anybody who has participated in insurrection against the government of the United States is barred from holding office. And Madison Cawthorn found himself some pettifoggers who went burbling and grunting and hooted to the commission, "What did that all that have? That's just Civil War thing. That don't have nothing to do with what happened on January 6th. And the commission said, "Yeah, it does. And yes, we have the power to remove your scrawny ass from the ballot." And then they stuck it in him and broke it off when they said, "Oh, by the way, even when they were discussing this provision, they said it wasn't just about the Civil War." It's one of those plain language moments. So this could work out quite nicely, except for the fact that it'll probably go all the way to the Supreme Court, where those six wild-eyed maniacs from the and judicial terrorists from the Federalist Society might decide to just sort of abrogate a significant chunk of the 14th Amendment. And we talked, speaking of Madison Cawthorn, we talked about the other night Rick Skeletor Scott's 11-point plan for America, solution for America. Well, Madison Cawthorn has one, too. A new contract on America, because contract on America was already taken by Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist and serial philanderer. So it's the new contract on America. And it's basically a right-wing spank bank of evil shit that they've wanted to do for years, just like Rick Skeletor Scott's. among other things, what he wants to do is imagine this. I mean, oh, so creative. He wants to incentivize. No, really. He wants to incentivize elderly Americans to get off their elderly asses and go to work, damn it. How does he want to do that? By gutting Social Security. And in talking with the Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, he said, I think the Green New Deal is much less of a climate plan and much more of a communist manifesto. Yeah, anything a maggot doesn't like, they know that Emery and Marvelline sitting in their matching Barca loungers down at the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Court and Country Club will just go plum hog wild as long as he calls it communism. He wants to, quote, slash government spending by a third by 2031, enacting a balanced budget amendment, and abolishing the income tax and finding a replacement flat tax or consumption tax by 2026. And once again, the fetish object of destroying the federal Department of Education. And another one that sends Republican men's hands into their pants, making English the official language of the United States. And a ban on any money, federal money, being spent on critical race theory. And school choice so that private, God-bothering schools can get federal tax dollars. Yeah. What a Lulu. So, you know, that's what we've got to, well, and ever so much more to work with as we come to the end of the filler obster for this Friday on the front porch. Remember, we've got $110 worth of challenges on the table, courtesy of our dear, dear friend Rico and the Quiescent Berg and Joey and Giraffe and Junior and Joey 2. The My God, What Have We Become challenge of $100 will knock us down to $4.99 to go. Ditch Republicans challenge from Joey and Giraffe Jr. and Joey 2 will get us down to $4.79. It'd be great if we could do that. I mean, if we got down to $4.79, it would mean that all we had left was Monday and $179 of today, which is fan-freaking-tastic. Meanwhile, let's run over to the over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, and see what's going on. Hey, Sparky! There you are.
Yeah, I'm in the house today.
A little craptastic?
No, I just like being more comfortable.
I understand.
Plus, I can watch the big screen.
Aha. Sounds like that chair needs a little oil.
Yeah, or silicone. I don't use it. WD-40 anymore.
Or maybe you've got some leftover knee grease. Is that silicone when you go when you go get your knee grease?
No, I don't know what it is now. Just a new doctor I got.
Any big plans for the weekend?
No. Just watching races.
No, what race is this weekend?
Fontana.
Oh, okay.
It didn't go there last year, so it went back this year. And then they go to Vegas, and then they go to Phoenix, and then they'll go back east again. I've been watching that series on Netflix called Race, Bubba Wallace.
Oh, yeah?
6-part series.
Any good?
Yeah, it's all about how he became an activist. You remember the story, the noose and everything?
Right.
Yeah, it has all that story on it. Just follows him through his career now with 2311 Racing with Michael Jordan.
I admit I'm a little bit uninformed. I didn't realize that Michael Jordan had a racing team.
Yeah, I started it last year.
It's everything's the second best. It's everything.
Is that you, Kevin?
It was somebody.
Yeah, it's me.
How you doing?
Good. Sorry, I just had to mute the TV.
Oh, no worries, no worries.
I'm doing good. Me and Tracy are here.
Yeah, hey, Tracy, those onion rings and that chili pie looked killer.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, they were good. It was good food on a snowy day.
Yeah, that just had rib stick and frozen day written all over it.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't get as much snow as I thought, which was good. And I'm off today and I'm off tomorrow. I've got a couple of days off here, so I've got a 3-day weekend here. So it's nice. But, boy, it's crazy what they're doing with all these proposals, these Republicans talking about having people going back to work, you know, after they retire and getting rid of Social Security. That's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's another one of those cases of when they tell you who they are, believe them the first time.
Exactly. Yep.
It's lunacy.
You got that right, Sparky.
But then again, Ketanji Brown Jackson's brother-in-law has been advocating for that for north of 10 years. And by that, I mean Paul Ryan.
Yeah, Paul Ryan, yeah. Yeah, I know he was big on it, and it got a little steam with Bush. I remember Bush wanted to do it, and then – so what would they do, just as a suppose, and of course, you know, once they get in charge, well, let's just not even go there. Let's just hope Social Security never gets touched, and, you know, we just – but, you know, because I'm not too far away from getting to that point. But, I mean – what are they going to do? What you got put into it? Let's just say they go ahead and, you know, ram it through and get it done where they want to privatize it. So whatever you put into it, how much are they going to give you? They're going to give you a lump sum. I'm sure.
Right. What happens if the market tanks?
Exactly.
Because, you know, if we use, say, what George W. Bush wanted as a model, going back to, what was it, 2005, when he was in the second inaugural, when he said, "It got me some political capital, and I'm going to spend it. We're going to piratize Social Security."
Yeah, I remember when he said that, but it didn't work out that way. He had a little window there to pump some stuff through, but I don't think he got anywhere near the stuff he wanted.
And is it me, or do I remember, and I'm not trying to be cranky or cantankerous about this, but didn't it get stopped in part by the filibuster?
I don't remember. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I wouldn't surprise me at all if they did that.
Of course, that was so long ago. I mean, what, 17 years? That's a political eternity.
It doesn't seem that long.
Yeah, that was so long ago. It was back when talking about fucking with Social Security was political suicide.
Well, I mean, I still would think it would be today, too, because the average age of every American is still going to get, what, older. It's going to keep rising up until, what, 2050, right?
I think that's about the right number.
Well, I mean, we're all getting older. We're all going to need it. So, but, you know, they want to go after, what, young people, college people, and older people, and just have, I don't know, whatever. I get tired of it. But you can't just not pay attention. You know, you gotta see what these bad people are thinking. Otherwise, you know, they'll just spring it on you. It's a malaise in the country right now.
Yeah, it is. And one of the things, and I think Steve from New York wants to talk about it a little bit, is that these sanctions are going to have rebound effects around the world. And if you tune in for profit media news, even the networks that we like to pretend are somewhat believable, inflation.
Yep.
It's like some sort of goddamned economic catnip.
Yeah, I don't know why they're hammering that like it's the end of the world. It's not.
Or like it's something that that politicians do deliberately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, look,
I was just going to say, Jimmy Carter got hammered over inflation. And, yeah, you know, right-wing media is still talking about Jimmy Carter and inflation and that other word, malaise. I remember Gerald Ford giving an address in which he introduced America to his solution to the stagflation that bedeviled his administration. It was a red button with white letters that said WIN.
Win buttons. I remember those.
And it stands for whip inflation now.
Oh, God, that was so lame.
Well, and the thing is about, see, this, when we have undeclared wars, unpaid for undeclared wars, there is a price to be paid for them. If not pay as you go after you're done, it does have an effect on the economy. And Vietnam was in the 60s, pretty much, early 70s. And when was the inflationary rise? In the mid and late 70s and even into the 80s. Okay, we had the same thing go on with Afghanistan and Iraq, undeclared wars, unpaid for wars. So it would, I don't think it's the same amount of time, but regular as clockwork, inflation is going to occur. And plus you have COVID to add to the mix. In terms of causality. And they know this. This is what pisses me off. They try to paint it as somebody's fault when they know damn well it's in the natural, well, maybe not the natural order of things, but it's not an unknown phenomenon. Let's put it that way. Back to you, Chet.
Well, he said he would, and he did, and that's the news. You remember Chet's vocal style?
They
didn't like that "Goodnight Chet, Goodnight David" thing. They thought it made him sound like, too something. But they made him do it, and it became a catchphrase.
Good night, Chet.
Good night, David. No, I'm David. You're Chet. Anyway,
they told us. We said it. We told them we wouldn't, and we did.
Didn't they have like a cameo in Mad Mad World too? Chet Huntley and David Brinkley, real briefly, that movie.
Remember? No, everybody else was in it, but I don't. I know they weren't.
I thought they did, or maybe that's the wrong movie I'm thinking of. I swear to God, I saw it anyway. Whatever, probably could dig it up somewhere.
Well, Robin, you jogged my memory. The dusty bin, my dusty memory bins with Contract on America. Somewhere I've got a copy of TV Guide from that era, and the GOP or whoever was running that scam put a 2-page ad in TV Guide with a postpaid reply card where you could show your enthusiasm for the Contract for America. And I didn't send mine in. I was going to save it for a keepsake and not encourage them. But there were 10 points, weren't there? And I don't even remember what the fucking points were. But they just keep recycling them.
Yeah, Gingrich wanted to get rid of what? The Department of Education, the Department of Energy. What else? A couple other ones.
That's just so much horseshit.
Yeah.
Typical. Yeah.
They're talking about getting rid of the Department of Energy at CPAC today.
Oh, God. Is that circus back in town?
Yep.
God damn.
I expect more in, you know, every more in Monday after CPAC is just a, yeah, it's.
They'd be foaming at the mouth before this weekend. So.
Oh, yeah, and more in Monday will be an absolute, madcap extravaganza.
A CPAC palooza.
Don't you wish just one day, just once, not a whole week or a month or just a day, that something happened and the morans, the crop just died and it didn't get it, no harvest. Am I wrong?
No.
In hold on a sec, what the fuck just happened? Nope, sorry. Really. My microphone. By the way, Robin, did you see? I sent you an interesting video. It's a live stream of Kyiv.
Yes, I saw that, but I couldn't open it.
It's really eerie.
Yeah, like, just how quiet it is.
It's just quiet. And the only move I've seen a couple cars go by, and there's a street light. That's blinking. It's just fucking eerie.
Now,
with
so much of the population bugged out.
Oh, and
and Putin not giving a rat's ass, you know, what civilian targets he hits.
Yeah, and then the fact that the fucking Russian propaganda network, Fox News, Tucker Carlson's fucking praising Putin.
Russian media
on RT and Russian TV.
Yeah, and Russian media are now showing clips of Nitwit Nero praising Putin.
Sick.
There was actually a Russian. I don't know if it was a Russian, a journalist. I might have been in London or something. Actually, said that they thought Tucker Carlson went too far. A Russian journalist.
Yeah. There was a Russian journalist who said he sounds like he was trained at Pravda Academy.
Oh, and by the way, I wanted to just talk about the Swift thing. Swift is actually not that big of a deal. I actually heard a person from the Financial Times talk about it today. Swift is basically just a notification system. It doesn't actually process payments. Who was it? Somebody tonight wrote in about the processing payment. There's a system of processing payments, international payments, which actually go through the Federal Reserve's Fedwire through the New York Federal Reserve. And then there's the other one. I can't remember what it was, but what Biden did with one of the two banks that they sanctioned, one of them, they can't do any payments. So they can't. No payments can get processed at all. Apparently, what Biden did was far and away more extensive than what would have happened with SWIFT. And the hang-up was you had Germany and Italy wanting to exempt luxury items from the basically it's like a payment embargo. And the comment was, well, if we're going after oligarchs, that kind of defeats the purpose, and everyone kind of knocked that down.
Yeah.
Quick as shit.
Hey, got a question for you guys real quick. Do you guys remember that movie that came out by ABC? It was a made-for-TV movie back in the 1980s called The Day After.
I was just thinking The Day After.
Yeah.
Had Jason Robards in it.
Yes. You know what's scary about that movie?
And the cultural conniption that it occasioned?
Yeah. But you know what's scary about that movie is almost identical to what's going on over there right now happened in that movie.
Yeah.
Russia, only in that movie, Russia was trying to invade Germany. That's the only difference, basically.
Wait, how could that's an odd. So it went across Poland to invade Germany?
Yeah.
And well, actually, at the time, East Germany?
Yep. And there was Rachel Maddow came out with a thing report last night. I can't remember who it was that she interviewed, but it was somebody in Russia. Putin's already come out and clearly said that anybody interferes with the
Nuclear weapons.
He's going to nuke them.
Well, he didn't say that. This is why I honestly can't stand Rachel Maddow. Ugh, she's so awful. But anyway, he said he alluded to it, saying that if NATO or anybody threatens, that he basically reminded them, I have a nuclear arsenal. But I can't even think that he would be that crazy, because that would be the end of Russia. What the hell just happened?
Yeah, that'd be the end of Russia and a lot of other nations.
I just, my biggest worry right now, well, I don't want to say biggest worry. My biggest worry for me, and who the fuck am I, is the people of Ukraine. But I hope we don't take our eyes off the ball of the Taiwan Strait.
Yeah, this is not good, what's going on over there at all.
I just don't want China getting any ideas, because China thinks, that Taiwan is, it's this, it's always been.
Yeah, and Steve, it's funny you should mention that, because somebody that I watch on Facebook, another one of our Democratic people, her name's T. Brown, and she has, every morning she has Tea Time with T, and she was saying what we all need to be doing right now is we need to be paying attention to these other countries, because they're going to try and sneak in and do something. You wait and see.
I got it just in.
I don't know if anyone knows Putin made some thing about some comment about Ukraine. Ukraine actually never existed. It's just a figment. I kept thinking fixture.
It's a pigment of our imagination.
Yes, it's a pigment. Except mine is just an off-white. For some reason, that's all it is. Not gray or anything, off-white.
And isn't that what Stalin did in the 1930s? Stalin tried to invade Ukraine?
Well, he did. That was part one of the republics of the Soviet Union. That's when it was the Ukraine. That was the breadbasket of the Soviet Union. That's where they grew all the wheat. Or not all of it, but a good portion of it.
I've got a dish just in.
Do tell.
Ukraine's air defense down to Russian Ilyushin 276 carrying a landing force near Valaskitsk, I don't know.
South Kyiv.
And Alexander Vindman says this is serious, somewhere between 125 and 225 paratroopers, depending on how it was configured.
Wow.
Ukraine shot it down?
Yes.
I say bravo to them. I mean, I'm anti-war till the cows come home. But I'm telling you, if someone invades your sovereign...
All bets are off.
Well, and not only that, but I think about, I don't know how much of World War II took place in Ukraine, but I know that when the Nazis tried to get to Moscow, they didn't quite make it. Now, did they?
No.
And part of it was weather, but part of it was the fact that the Russians will kick your ass if you try to, at least the Russians back then.
I mean,
go ahead.
Go ahead, Scott.
It's getting real. It's even more real today when paratrooper planes or transport planes are shot down with how many on board, did you say?
170.
Alexander Vindman,
Yeah, the guy that helped
says with there's somewhere between 125 to 225 paratroopers, depending on how it was configured.
Dead for nothing.
Yeah, and it's so hard to disseminate information. in Mother Russia, but the grieving families of those soldiers need to have it explained to them that this is nothing to blame on Ukraine. The person responsible for the deaths of those however many Russian paratroopers is sitting in a bunker in the Kremlin.
Did
going crazy.
Apparently, there have been fairly massive protests.
Yeah,
anti-Putin protests throughout Russia.
And apparently, at least one story I read said that he's rattled by it.
Isn't that great? I mean, you know, and props to the Russian people who are doing that. I mean, that ain't no easy feat.
Yeah, you know what, Stephen? My dad said this, and he's right. Back in the 80s, Gorbachev should have took Putin out when he had the chance to, because Gorbachev and Putin did not get along.
I don't even know if he knew who he was.
Yeah, at that point in time, I mean, maybe they didn't get along, but he was still
in East Germany.
He wasn't that particularly influential back then.
No, Putin was the head of the KGB.
Operative.
No, he was an operative. He wasn't head of the KGB.
Oh, he wasn't the head. Okay.
No.
No, he was still in East Germany.
He was just a spook.
Yeah, he was a spook. Can someone go on mute? And by the way, who is, someone has their hand up.
Yeah, that's Ken. Ken's got his hand up.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's got his mic muted. Can you
hear
me now? According to sources, it says that 1,600 people in 52 Russian cities have been detained for protesting the invasion.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's, we need to support those people.
And please, more than half of them were in Moscow.
But he can't detain them all. And the more heavy-handed he becomes, the more people are likely to push back.
Well, you wonder if Putin will go Yuko Hussein and start nuking his own people. Sort of in
left. Hey, Roger, can you mute? Can someone mute Roger? There we go.
Thank you, Sparky.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, with as many people in Russia that are against Putin doing this, I wonder if we could see a civil war break out in Russia over this.
I would imagine we and other countries are trying to foster that for all we're worth. You know, file under the heading of, I hope it doesn't hurt too little.
Because, I mean, there are obviously more people in Russia against the invasion than there are for it.
How do you know that?
Well, you said I'm guessing.
I'm sorry.
Well, they said the other day that there was like 54 major cities in Russia where there were protesting going on.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if there's a fair number, I mean, a pretty sizable number of people who see this for what it is. I mean, despite the dis and misinformation that comes over on their media, so-called news media, you know, the people for whom this is not their first rodeo, who have seen the abuses and seen the inequities and all the horseshit that they've had to deal with, especially if they're older people, you know, who remember the bad old days, the different bad old days, they know that this, the way that whole system is set up, even under the, quote, new and improved Russia, you know, with active enzymes and bluing,
bluing
it's just not, you know, the, it's like the pictures on the
micronite
menu.
Charcoal
activated charcoal, did you say
micronite charcoal?
It's like the menus at dinettes at drugstores and stuff. You see a picture of something and it's described beautifully on the laminated menu, but what arrives on your plate is nothing like it. And this, I'm sure there's got to be a lot of fucking Russians who have said, oh, here we go again, this again. Нет, on this.
What?
You know?
I think a number of them are probably saying, you know, they probably don't have much of an opinion on the politics of it. But it probably has more to do with, haven't we suffered enough? And I can imagine people all throughout, you know, Moscow East, which is, you know, the mostly the Asian part of the Soviet of Russia, saying, what threat does Ukraine pose? They're way over there. I can't fucking eat.
And tell me, riddle me this, comrade. How do you say 25th Amendment in Russian? You know, I don't think they have that provision.
No,
but I'll bet you if the oligarchs and some of the breakaway generals or military folk see this for what it is, Putin's days, they're going to be brushing off the old Eichmann trunk, you know.
No, you know what it'll be? It'll be he suddenly disappears and he has a cold. We remember this. Remember this from the old Soviet era.
Yes. Oh, wait a minute. I feel a sneeze coming on. Hand drop off. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And drop off he did.
Yes.
I know, though.
And drop off and get buried.
Yep.
You guys know what, though? Now I wonder, before we had a chance to even go down to Mar-a-Lago and obtain all those boxes back of classified documents that Trump stole from the White House. I just wonder how much information got leaked to Putin.
Oh, all of it. I mean, there was some stuff that was so classified that you couldn't even talk about it or describe it, according to one report I saw. And hey, just to shift gears for a moment, we are at the halfway point of the program. We have $699 to finish February. I hate talking about this. We all know that. But we've got $110 worth of challenges on the table, and it would be magnificent if we could get done with February's fundraising on this Friday and have a fundraising-free last day of February. What a great way to say goodbye to February and make sure that... make sure that the bills get paid and the program continues into March. So thank you in advance. Please don't let these matching challenges go by the wayside. And that having been said, I want to shift gears for just a moment because there was, I think this is probably ill-advised. The Centers for Disease Control have told 70% of the population of our country, the United States, as of today, that, they can leave the mask off. Really?
And, what could go wrong?
Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? I'm looking at the story here from the Hill. If you have low or medium COVID-19 community levels, you can take your masks off. And freedom! Wolverines! Right? About 30% of the U.S. population is still in a high-risk level. I'm betting that's where I am. I'm damn sure it's like, well, maggot states. You know how it goes. If you're still recommended for public indoor settings to wear a mask. If you're at medium, you're supposed to talk to your doctor about whether you should wear a mask. Ask your doctor if mask is right for you. Really? And now masking is only recommended in areas that have high levels of disease.
Hey, Robin?
Yeah?
I just sent you 10.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Ben. Thank you so much. That helps a ton. So that takes care of Joey and Giraffe's challenge. And now we've got the My God, What Have We Become challenge, courtesy of our dear, dear friend, Rico, who is so kind in helping to keep things going here. And that would be fantastic if that could just get met. Thank you, Ben. Thank you.
You're welcome. Has anybody got their free COVID test in the mail yet from Biden?
Yes.
Yes, I got mine too, Ben.
Yep,
how accurate are they?
I haven't tried one yet. I still got them in the package.
Yeah, and well, the thing is, they're the instant tests.
Oh, okay.
So, and this has been the rap on them all along, namely, yeah, and to wit, they are notorious for false negatives.
I got my state and federal pretest.
Oh, Vermont was sending them out too, Jeremy?
Yeah, they sent out 4, just like Biden did or whatever.
Cool.
Hey, thank you to Arnold. Thank you, Arnold, and thank you, Scott, in San Diego. Thank you, Scott. We are now only $50 away from meeting Rico's challenge. That's magnificent. And by the way, good on Rico with the Dylan lyric to go with today's challenge. I don't know if y'all all heard that at the beginning, but that was solid from Dylan's Masters of War. Speaking to, in this case, Rico using it for Pootie. And I hope that you die and your death will come soon. I'll follow your casket by the pale afternoon. And I'll watch while you're lowered down to your deathbed. And I'll stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead. That's a powerful, powerful thing, Masters of War.
Robin.
Yes.
You see the picture I posted in the chat?
I saw that. I saw cranium. That. Yeah, I saw that blow past just a moment ago. Let me call it back. I got the gist of it. Someone holding a sign. Dear Putin, let's speed up to the part where you kill yourself in a bunker.
That's beautiful.
Any idea where that comes from?
I got it off of Democratic Underground. It was in a tweet.
But, I mean, I just wonder where it was taken.
Give that anonymous Ukrainian
It doesn't say.
A long distance
on the tweet says Ukraine cowbell. Updates.
A long distance cowbell for that anonymous Ukrainian who's got more guts than most people.
Yeah, is that a Ukrainian? I don't know. That's what I was asking.
Or Russian, whoever it is, give him a cowbell.
I just did.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry. Steve.
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 There's a report that Zelensky has said that the Russians are ready to storm the Capitol. So tonight should be pretty bad.
Give me a string bean, I'm hungry, man. A shotgun fire and away they ran. I had the same dream, you see. I dreamed the only person left after the war was me. I didn't see you anywhere.
Which capital? Are the Russian people going to storm Moscow or the...
No. The Russian troops are far enough into Kyiv to storm the Ukrainian Capitol building.
Oh, great.
That was talking World War III blues by Bob Dylan.
Yes, indeed. I recognized it.
Great, Dylan. That whole album's good. It's been used in pop culture over and over again. Vanilla Sky, and inserted here, you know. So how's everyone?
Oh, we're
good,
just sitting,
Steve.
You know, sitting
good,
here,
Steve.
Sitting. It's good. it's war talk on a Friday evening.
Talk of World War III blues, man. What a prophet, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, hey, Steve, do you think Putin's going to conscript all the Washington Journal viewers into the Red Army?
If you could tune in every morning, you would seriously think that, yeah, something's going on.
I'll bet you a lot of them will go over there and fight for him right now.
Yep.
Not even kidding about it either.
Who was those folks that packed Madison Square Garden? They were called the Bond? Is that correct? Or?
The Bund.
The Bond.
The American Bund.
James.
I mean, but they're James all calling James in the Washington Bund. Journal. Jesus Christ, man. Did somebody say that Tucker made RTV?
Yeah. Yeah, they were running him. They were running his American audio with complete transcription in Russian underneath.
Unreal. These people ought to be tried for treason.
I'd shut down Fox News right now.
I just go in there.
I just go in there and say, you know what? You're not good for our country. You know where I'm going with this.
Oh yeah.
just
a slippery slope. I hear you. You know that's a slippery slope. I don't like the sound. Kevin. I know what you're saying.
I know,
man.
Something's got to get done because we're on that slippery slope now. And the way I look at it,
can we freeze all the Murdoch family's assets?
Why not?
That I think that's
honestly. Before we do that, and I understand exactly what you mean when you say slippery slope, because it is. But if we're doing economic sanctions, isn't it time to start booting some oligarchs out of a certain tower in Manhattan and mm-hmm. certain towers in South Florida? Isn't it time to start sending their kids away from American universities?
Yep.
I'm for it.
Works for me. And see, here's another thing. Back in the 80s, remember the I Want My MTV campaign? Call your cable company and say, I want my MTV. I think everybody who is outraged by anything Tucker Carlson has said should get on the line with their cable or satellite person and say, look, goddammit, I know it's on the basic tier, but I resent supporting economically that anti American fool that you've got on there in the evening on Fox News. Either credit my account or drop it off of that tier, because I never watch it, but the fact that it's there bugs me. And with him saying that type of shit, you know, pro-Russian propaganda or impropaganda would be the proper term.
I've tried it before, don't worry.
Well, you've tried it, Sparky? You called them?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have
too. What did they say?
That's the package you get. You have no control over.
Nothing we can do.
No, yeah. There is.
Well, they contractually obligate themselves. There's money changing hands.
Oh, mm-hmm. Big money, too.
Contracts.
Yeah.
I called them and I said, well, okay, if you sit there and you tell us, our local channels sit there and tell us that we got to call Spectrum or DirecTV if we want to keep our local Fox or NBC affiliate, why can't we call you and tell you that we don't want this fucking channel on there no more? That's what I told them. They said, well, sorry, but the local channels don't pay as much money as the.
Yeah, and look, I want to be clear about this, because as infuriated as I am by Fox and some of the other garbage that you get on the basic tier, when I have to pay more just to see channels that I actually care about in terms of information, it's worrisome. As a so-called leftist, because what left? The First Amendment is already, it's already been reduced to, as you all know, I refer to it as a life support system for the religion industry. And God, just suppressing anything in terms of speech is it just really sends me sideways. I mean, some of the, and I know Steve and Billable Rick, he's not here, but I know he had to read them too in law school. A triad of cases coming out of the Supreme Court, Schenck, Froework, and Debs. In the First World War, in the run up, and in the aftermath, this country went through a great spasm of suppressive policy with regard to anything having to do with anti-war. And make no mistake, if we were to have such a spasm with regard to Fox, then you can rest assured that whatever was done to Fox, it would pale by comparison with whatever would happen the next time we start some stupid war of choice and try to talk about it.
Wilson went after people hard for World War I, right?
Right. That's what I'm talking
Real
about.
Real hard. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, Robin, just to be clear, I mean, Tucker Carlson is free to utter whatever nonsense he wishes to utter.
Right, but he does not have a constitutional right to the platform that he has.
I would just like the opportunity to opt in if I want to spend my money to have access to it.
You'd like to be able to make that free market decision, and that's the second part of what I was about to say.
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. You're absolutely no. I understand what you're saying, and that's why economic force leveled at Fox is probably the best route. You know, because Republicans bark and grunt and hoot and get on the ground and roll around and carry on about the holy sacred free market. Well, if Tucker Carlson becomes a liability, then bye-bye Tucker. I mean, look at Bill O'Reilly. Granted, he had to, you know, grope and sexually harass and abuse no small number of women alongside Roger Ailes, but it got hot enough and they got rid of. It worked. And I don't know if you've noticed, but whoever or whatever is now carrying the water for dead Rush Limbaugh, what did he once refer to Jerry Garcia as? Just another dead junkie, my friends. Well, dead junkie Rush Limbaugh doesn't.
Cowbell for that.
Thank you.
Dead doper. Dead doper.
Well, it does. Especially after what he said about Sandra Fluck, he began hemorrhaging advertisers, and every time somebody advertised with him, they had a horrible backlash of people saying, well, that's one product. Yeah. Snapple advertised with him and received tremendous grief for it. I haven't bought a bottle of, do they even still exist? Because I haven't bought a bottle of Snapple since I heard an ad run on Limbaugh.
I didn't if either. I drank that shit thirst, like crazy until I heard they were the main primary sponsor.
If I was dying of thirst in one of our local deserts here in Southern California, I would drink my own piss before I would drink.
Well, that's just because you're trying to keep. COVID. That's just That's just because you're trying not to catch the Rona. There was another product that I used to use, and it was really good. They had different formulations for different kinds of stains. It was a little yellow bottle called Carbona Stain Devils. And it worked. And the minute they started advertising on Limbaugh, bye-bye.
Well, that leads me to wonder what kind of stains old Rail Rushbo is trying to eliminate.
God.
I don't even want to think about that.
There goes dinner.
I always take a bottle with me when I go on an all-boys vacation to the Dominican Republic.
There you go.
I didn't want to say that. The heat of the desert and the sand, you're halfway to your light tubes, too.
We got to have a little levity. Thank you to our dear sister Jude in the Great Northwest. She just jumped in on Rico's "My God, What Have We Become" challenge, and so that's down to $40 to go to finish that off and get us down to $479 to finish fundraising for February. So thank you, Jude. Thank you.
Hey, Robin, speaking of the pill-chomping hippopotamus.
Still dead.
Can you give a...
Still dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And,
okay. He dead.
After it's been long enough now that they're actually presenting the pineapples three at a time now.
Oh, okay. The hat trick.
Yeah, eventually it will be Avogadro's number at a time.
So what happened was Hell finally fixed their supply chain problems.
Yes.
Yeah, all the supply, all the pineapple supply chain problems in hell have been solved. On the other hand, because with everything else going on, thanks a fucking load, I guess there's a coming, if it's not already here, avocado problem.
Yep.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Not shortage. Kidding. And it's and again, once again, it's a result of drug prohibition. Agence France-Presse had the report earlier today. Mexican soldiers are actually having to go through avocado country and deactivate landmines because drug cartels that are in competition with each other, and when drug cartels compete, they do it with bullets and bombs. Among other things, there's been threats against a U.S. avocado inspector, because we have those, who is posted in Michoacan, which is avocado country. And Mexican avocado exports have been suspended. And after the Super Bowl, the government said, "Okay, we'll start accepting avocados again." But yeah, really, these gangs. Let's see, the story references a town called Aguililla, which is home to Nemesio El Mencho Oseguera, who heads the Jalisco New Generation cartel. Sounds like a fucking boy band. Dang it. I'm sorry.
The Mexican Proud Boys, yeah.
he's among America's most wanted. I'm so sorry. Call back, whoever is on the stress line. Call back. I got wrapped up in things, and I'll bring you right back on. My apologies. I'm so sorry.
Maybe it's Todd.
But the avocados are so valuable to the drug cartel, as well as Los Viagras. No, I'm not kidding. That's another cartel, Los Viagras. And they're fighting over drug smuggling routes. They're fighting over control of the avocado trade. And I didn't realize it, but I guess, you know, there's something for every part of the year, and Super Bowl season is when avocado consumption goes through the roof. I don't know about y'all, though, but there's this thing that happens with avocados and me. Annette and I were still down in Birmingham, the first time I was able to go out to the grocery store, I saw a little bag of avocados. And I was like, wow, yeah, I'd love to have some avocados. So I got a bag, and it became a running joke because, you know, they were just little green baseballs, hard as rocks. And I would joke every morning. I'd go in and I'd come back and say, well, I just checked the avocados; they're not ready yet. And what I wound up saying was, you know, what I'm doing is I'm checking every morning to make sure that they get to that peak level of overripeness where you just pick them up and put them in the garbage, because that's always what happens to me. I love them so much. I mean, sometimes I just love to have an avocado with salt, or to smash it on a piece of avocado toast, smash it on a piece of sourdough toast, but. What happens is they're like green, unripe, and then for like 15 seconds they're perfect, and then they're put them in the garbage.
Black.
Yeah.
Why are the pits so big? The seeds.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, like, you know, you see that label that says Haas avocados. All avocados basically come from like one tree. I don't mean there's only one tree, but I mean
one type of tree.
No, they are all descended from a single tree, just like all thoroughbred racehorses in the United States trace their lineage back to a farm in northwest Alabama.
So it's the Haas tree that they're all.
Yeah, I mean, I think dude's name was Haas.
Little Joe was his brother. No.
You know, Scott, you need to
really
ask that
ashamed
question
of that
to St.
One.
Peter. You need to ask that question to St. Peter when you head up to the pearly gates. That's the first question you need to ask him.
No, the first question is, can you send more pineapples that other way? You know? And then I'll get to the avocado. You got to do this systematically.
Okay.
Oh, and thank you, Jeremy, in Vermont. Thank you. We are now down to only $20 to go for Rico's My God, What Have We Become challenge. Thank you. Thank you, Jeremy. So that's a big daggum deal. And thank you. Thank you, Jude. Jude says, you blend well, dear Robin, on all levels with the community. Yes, male and female callers and friends. Your journey is unique in my life for a myriad of reasons.
I'd love for her to call in on the porch.
Yeah.
Call in, Jude.
Yeah, you're being conjured, Jude.
Summoned. Fellow Northwestern,
Yeah, she added, I appreciate most the aspect of how you affirm others, be it on the open mic or emails. It's an aspect from my perspective of being a life giver to all, and on this Friday especially, for yours truly. Well, you are a part of this community, and you are part of our hearts, dear Jude. You absolutely are. How about that? We're absolutely overcome with war news, and we find ourselves talking about avocados.
Well, like it was said, I think
talking about food. Guess who's on the border of Poland delivering meals tonight?
Chef Jose Andres.
Yes, you got it.
That guy needs a Nobel. He does. He is an amazing man.
He shows up everywhere shit's needed, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Like everywhere.
He's like Médecins Sans Frontières.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'll bet you if Anthony Bourdain were still alive, he'd be there too.
Oh, you know. Mm-hmm. You know. Ah, miss that guy. Miss him.
Cooking up some barbecue.
Does anyone want to talk about the Supreme Court?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm just watching her now on MSNBC. I know there were three. Is she one of the – there was like good – or there was great, good, and bad choice?
Well, I know that Lady G is already throwing a conniption saying that he didn't get the nominee that he kind of wanted, you know, the woman from – South Carolina, Stan,
and that means what's his name is going to be all pissed off too because
who, Clyburn?
But yes,
no, I don't think Clyburn will get vindictive about it. It's not like it's look if Joe Biden had nominated the judge from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham wouldn't have exactly been out there singing her praises. I mean, this is just such a dumb show. But he did tweet, Lindsey did, that the radical left has taken over Joe Biden.
Now, here we go.
Now this woman has handed down, I think she gave some dude 10 years on a pot charge, okay? So it's not like she's going to be some wild-eyed, lefty radical.
Yeah.
But, yes, Robin, but she's black.
Oh, I know. I've got it in the stack for the Malloy program, so I don't want to ruin what, but I don't want to just, you know, be a do-over. But
does the ghost of Strom Thurmond inhabit Lindsay on odd number days or something?
He does something.
Well, no, I don't think Lindsay's ever going to be caught having sexy time with the upstairs help.
Well, no. No, but it just troubles me that, well, don't get me started on Lindsay. Man, I wish the voters of South Carolina had voted differently I wish a lot of fucking voters had voted differently now that I think about it.
Well, yeah, yeah. By the way, back to the avocados for a second. Tom in sunny San Rafael says, the funny thing is, when we spent 6 months on the west coast of Mexico, we never found a bad avocado. They'd be so soft you'd never buy one here, but they were universally excellent. Yeah, I mean, that's like real tomatoes.
You know what? My partner from Brazil told me when he first came here and saw avocados, he laughed. He's like, they're so tiny.
Yeah.
And he told me in Brazil they're fucking like three times the size of a hospital.
Yeah, I picked up a bag and I'm making guacamole tonight, and they're small. They're tiny.
No, I wanted to say something until what really pisses me off is that what was that fifth dentist thinking, saying that he didn't recommend sugar-free gum for the patients who chew gum?
Right.
Oh, right. That's good. Give him a cowbell.
No, don't. Don't. I don't deserve it for that. Went too far. But
well, you know that you can, if get back to avocados briefly, Steve. If you take an avocado and put an avocado seed, and stick toothpicks in it, and partially submerge it in a little tumbler of water, and put it on your kitchen window, where the sun shines, on the windowsill, it'll sprout, and you can actually plant them, mm-hmm. and grow your own avocados if you're in a warm enough place.
Scott. You do realize I live in New York City, right? I mean, there's not much dirt around here that I can dig into. Well,
you get a big pot and find out what nutrients it needs, and once it sprouts, plant that puppy and you'll have avocados growing.
And you have to bring it in the fall and bring it out in the spring, right?
Well, yeah, that's why I said it depends on where you live.
I have something to report.
Yes.
Okay.
Just heard and seen a big squadron of Chinook and Black Hawk helicopters heading eastbound, coming from Fort Riley, Kansas. Something's up.
Now, you want to hear something?
I don't think that necessarily means something's up. I mean, it could be
exercises.
Yeah.
No, listen to this, Robin. Where was I today? Was it today or yesterday? Where I have a. Who was I talking to told me that his brother got called to duty up in New Hampshire. He got told, be ready to deploy on 3 hours notice.
Jesus.
And he said it was to go to Europe to fortify NATO troops.
They activated the Rapid Strike Force today, NATO did, partially activated it. And
are you in a cave? Who is that?
That's Ben.
Kevin.
Oh, is that Kevin?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing is they have deployed some people from here in Colorado Springs at Fort Carson. So it's getting real in a hurry for military families.
Well, what's really got Pootie, what's really given Pootie a case of the dribbling turtle squirts is the fact that famously neutral Sweden has apparently decided to side with NATO in this instance. And not just Sweden, but their neighbor directly to the east, Finland. And if you want somebody that knows how to fuck up Russia, the Swedes and the Finns have a long history.
Finns gave them a run for their money before World War II.
Yeah, kicked the shit out of them.
Yep, skis on skis, Molotov cocktails. You know,
and they're talking the people in Kyiv were told to be ready to use petrol bombs. That was the term I saw in print, petrol bombs, Molotov cocktails.
Yeah.
And you know what I hear? I hear the Finns. I hear they rake a mean forest floor.
Oh, Jesus.
I guess all those biathlon.
I thought they vacuumed it.
They'll rake the forest floor with Russian teeth.
I guess all that biathlon practice from a couple weeks ago is going to come in handy.
We're going to rake our forest with Russian teeth.
This is turning into some grim shit. You know that?
Yeah, it is. It is. You mean tonight here on the porch or just in general?
Well, both. Yeah. Well, thank you, George. Thank you, George. We are Rico's God, what have we become challenge has been met in memory of the suffering of the people of Ukraine. Thank you, George. And we are now down to $474 to go to finish off the month of February. If that kind of a miracle could happen, we could have a fundraising free Monday. Because remember, the CPAC is in session, so that means we're going to have extra double plus super duper moranity come Monday.
Hey, if nobody has anything to say, I have something way off base, not off base, but way out of left field. A little observation to make.
Do it, Steve.
Go for it.
You know, I happened to be reading the Constitution the other day.
The Consummatution?
Yes, the Consummatution. No.
Okay.
No, not the Consummatution. This is the actual, not the Consummatution.
It's in the Constitution.
Yeah, this actually is really in the Constitution. I happened on Article 1, Section 8, which is the enumerated powers of Congress, and then there's the infamous, my dad called it the elastic clause, the necessary and proper clause. There is a term, there was something very interesting in there. It was, if you read in that litany of powers, one of the powers was to maintain a navy. However, there was another power that was to raise a militia. And it suddenly, it suddenly occurred to me, maybe I'm being obtuse here, or maybe I'm never seen this, but it occurred to me that is the link that nobody seems to make between that portion of the Constitution and the Second Amendment. That it's clear what that tells me, there's a number of people out there going, duh. What this tells me is that what that does makes clear what the well-regulated militia part means. Is that in times when the reason people had to be armed or had a right to be armed was in those instances in which the Congress deemed it necessary to raise a militia. That if Congress didn't deem it necessary to raise a militia, the Second Amendment doesn't apply. And I also looked, they also referenced the term army in there. Like commander-in-chief of the armed forces is the president.
Yes.
So it struck me, and again, Robin, maybe you're sitting there going, duh, but I don't know what was the first time I ever made that connection between raising a militia and the term militia specifically used in the Second Amendment. And it made me remember something you and Dr. Bill used to talk about, is that as imperfect as the founders were, they were pretty good at the art of word knowing.
Just reading the Federalist Papers, especially Federalist 10, James Madison had a lot of free time to be a scholar, and he used it apparently well, and He writes sentences that have dependent clauses with dependent clauses depending on dependent clauses. I mean, this is even lawyer writing pales in comparison to Madison. But yeah, they chose their words very carefully, but they also used words, Steve, in the context of their times. So the word militia meant something to them that it may not necessarily mean to us because we don't necessarily have them in our lives. A militia is something you raise for local defense, whereas an army is a much more regimented thing.
Mm-hmm. But it may, for some reason, all of a sudden, and this I just happened to be reading this a few weeks ago, all of a sudden it made it clear that that's the context of the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
That's the reason people, the right to bear arms, quote unquote, shall not be infringed, is so that there was an armed populace or enough people with guns that if Congress needed to raise one, they did.
Yeah. And a well-regulated
militia would imply that it was duly raised.
Well, that it was not just that, Scott, but that your musket was properly maintained, that you had a necessary supply of shot and powder and patches and oil, and by the time you get around to the cap lock, caps. And in fact, in the argument of, well, you know, the government ain't got no right to tell people how they can own their guns. Well, they've been telling people how they could own their guns from freaking jump. Because there were regulations. You know, you shall have your firearm in good working order, your musket in good working order. You shall have this much shot. You shall have this much powder. You shall have this much patches, wads, and it was all necessary for the maintenance of a well-regulated militia.
In order to defend the country. This had nothing to do with, people need to have guns to keep the government in check. That ain't what it was about.
I mean, in the early days of the Republic, it was not unusual to think that Mother England might come calling again. And the reason for the Second Amendment was not, as has been argued, slave patrols, but rather for purposes of waging war on indigenous people on the frontiers. And the frontier was in New York. The frontier was in Western Mass. The frontier was in Western PA. The frontier was Virginia, west of the Alleghenies, where I now live. And that's reflected in the really vicious language of the Declaration of Independence, you know, where Jefferson writes about the merciless Indian savages. And so, you know, drilling, training, all of that stuff. Remember, Ron and Raleigh says, the gunfight at the OK Corral was started because there was a no-gun rule in Dodge City. No, Tombstone. And the Clantons decided they weren't going to comply. Most towns along the cattle trails had gun ordinances to control gun-toting drovers from shooting up the town when they got all liquored up. Yeah, I thought Tombstone was OK Corral, not Dodge City. Dodge City's in Kansas.
My gun, my choice, right?
Oh, Jesus, yeah. Oh, and back to, just back for a minute to Ketanji Brown Jackson. The hissies really have begun. There's, for instance, an outfit, you know, one of these wingnut welfare outfits called Judicial Crisis Network. And it's run by some horrible person named Carrie Severino. And she has already called Ketanji Brown Jackson a politician in robes. And Joe Biden went back on his promise to unify America, and instead he's going to deliver radical extremism. She said, With the nomination of Jackson today, Biden continues to placate his liberal dark money friends. Listen, honey, Carrie, can I call you Carrie? When we're talking about the nomination of the first black woman to the Supreme Court of the United States, a phrase like liberal dark money friends, I mean, that's a dog whistle too far. Can we cancel Carrie Severino, please?
I second that nomination.
And then Robert McGuire, who is the so-called research director for Citizens for Ethics, said, if you want to make the case against dark money and SCOTUS nominations, you might not want to be the head of a dark money group. Dark
money. Why am I thinking
that? Oh, wait, it gets better. Judicial Crisis Network, in another hissy on Twitter, said, you know, it ain't right to nominate a Supreme Court judge in the middle of an international crisis.
Oh, here we go. New rule.
Oh, good.
A new
Lord
McConnell rule. Huh? Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Possibly the stupidest person on the internet, a guy named Jack Posobiec, he said, the White House strategy is to breeze a Supreme Court nominee right through during lots of distractions. No one will have time to scrutinize them. It also shows their focus is not Ukraine. Jesus, these people.
Walking and chewing gum.
It comes to mind.
I'm going to go further into left field than Steve did. I was watching a documentary having to do with the activities of some Klan members way down south years ago in Mississippi during the voter registration drive in the early 60s. And there was at that time, apparently, a group of Klansmen down there in Louisiana and Mississippi who had a loose-knit group called the Silver Dollar Group. Have you ever heard of the Silver Dollar Group?
No, not I.
They were, one of their claims to fame is all of them were good, upstanding Klanspeople. But to be in the Silver Dollar Group, you had to carry with you on your person at all times a silver dollar dated with the date, the year of your birth. And when I heard that, my jaw dropped. Because someone whose name I bring forth from time to time is my great-great-aunt Emma, who was born in 1880. And she had a silver dollar on her person at all times, which was minted in 1880. And I have never known her to say or do a racist thing other than have an interesting description for Brazil nuts. And I think most of us know what that is. But other than
that,
other than that, I don't think there was a hateful bone in her body. But now I am hearing about the fucking Silver Dollar Group. And if that was a thing, how widespread was it, and is it still?
Now, wait. Clear it up for me. Tell me again. I'm sorry. I kind of lost the thread.
Well, these Klansmen who were fighting against the voter registration drive down south, especially in Mississippi, from Louisiana and Mississippi, were not only members of the Klan. They had their own little subgroup called the Silver Dollar Group. And they each carried a silver dollar, back when silver dollars had silver in them, with the year of their birth stamped on the front of it. And I don't know, it didn't go into much more detail, and there's very little about it on the internet. But it made me think of...
So is it some sort of talisman they would show to each other so that everybody knew so that they would recognize their evil little racist brethren?
Along those lines. And the only reason I bring it up is the fact that, first, I never had heard of it before, but the other thing was on Emma's fucking 1880 silver dollar, you know? And it threw me temporarily. And I just, have you ever heard of this group before?
No.
I have.
And now you're calling stuff into question for me because all my life, and I can't imagine that my parents would have been, all my life, my parents carried a silver coin with a hole drilled through it on their on their respective keychains. And it was passed on to me, not with any of that in mind, but rather, as long as you've got this, You are never completely broke.
Yeah.
And that was and that was a very depression kid thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a question for you guys. Has anybody here ever heard of Samuel Green?
Not offhand.
He was the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan during World War II. Well, I heard the other day they found out now that him and Hitler were writing letters to each other.
Mash notes.
I was about to say mash notes. Now quit that.
I've been doing that a lot lately, Robin.
Yeah, get out of my brain. It's not a night. You don't want to be there.
No, you get out of my brain, damn it.
And hey, they think that he got some of the ideas.
Is this the same guy that has the books, Moscow in Movement and Putin versus the People? No. Samuel A. Green?
No, this is Samuel Green was the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan during World War II.
Because ironically, there's a guy out, Samuel A. Green, who has two books, Putin and the People and Moscow in Movement.
No, he was born in 1889. Samuel Green was. He died in August of 49.
What, of a broken heart over Hitler?
Oh, probably. Adolf spurned him for Ava. Love hurts. Well, that didn't work out too well down there in the bunker.
Yeah, no.
But it just amazes me how much shit this world's gone through and how much it's going through now.
And still yet to go.
Yeah.
Well, some shit you kind of expect in the course of being alive and being a human being and being on this fucking planet. But so much of the shit is needless. It's like
self-induced, right?
Self-induced. Very good. Now you're in my head.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shit going on in our heads here tonight.
I guess.
And it also seems like, too, that history keeps repeating itself.
Nick, you said you're up in Scott's head. Let me ask. There's got to be a bunch of coffee mugs just like laying around. Is that true?
No. Just this one with Daffy Duck on it.
A lot of squirrel peanuts.
Yeah. How is your coffee stash of the stuff that I sent you?
I put the last of it. I thought so highly of that coffee, Steve, mm-hmm. that I got I went on Amazon and got a $12 stainless steel decanter.
Ooh.
Which keeps it fresh. I was keeping it in an old coffee can. Well, I'm telling you, that was the wrong thing to do with coffee. This every time I open it, it's as if you've just opened a fresh can of coffee. That's how well it keeps it.
Good deal.
So, yeah, man, thank you. I thank you again. I'll keep thanking you until you send more. No.
You flatter me by telling me I'm so glad that it was that you enjoyed it and liked the taste so much.
Oh, with that Zabar's coffee, I'm telling you, I bookmarked the page because I knew there would come a day when there weren't going to be no more. Have you tried that, Robin? That Zabar's?
Robin.
I think Robin went there.
No, I was dealing with the stress line phone. No, I have not.
It's good stuff.
Well, remember, what am I? Decaffeinated?
Decaf.
They have decaf. I was going to say chopped liver. what am I? Chopped liver?
Trans? No, that.
Why, when you said that, I when it went through my mind, I thought, is it like a trick question, or is it a obvious?
Now, back to Ketanji Brown Jackson for a minute. The Judicial Crisis Network already has spent a small fortune on a video ad. What could possibly motivate a president to nominate a Supreme Court justice in the middle of an international crisis? How about $1.2 billion in dark money?
A huge sum. A huge payback.
What?
Oh, the
now,
goddess
is
abundance.
The
goddess.
Dark, or are they referring to the people on whose behalf?
Well,
it,
you know,
spent?
Right. Not a great look for them.
I'm sorry, that was out loud.
Hey, Robin, did you hear the screed? Oh, go ahead.
No, it's okay. I'm just saying they're going to milk this thing, the racial aspect of it, for all they can get, and then some.
Hey, Robin, did you hear this latest screed from Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Oh, God.
Lady Three Toes.
A little three names? Are you talking about the one where she... threatens to stomp a trans person?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you play that yesterday? I don't remember if you did or not.
I referenced... No, well, the clip was just too long and too disgusting to
get
through.
It is long.
But, no, I think I used that in the Malloy program last night.
It's horrendous. Horrific. She is truly evil. She's not just stupid. She's evil.
She's fucking trash.
When I saw her,
she's garbage. She is a garbage person.
When I saw her following that kid that from the Parkland shooting to that building, I forget where he was going, courthouse or something or whatever. Remember, you seen that video?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And screaming through the keyhole. I knew right then and there
she was no freaking good when I saw that. Right then and there, I lost any shred of respect I even possibly even had for her. Right? Was gone when I saw that.
I don't think I ever had any. But now it's utter disdain and, like, yeah, she's bad. She's a real bad person.
Well, think about it, though. Whip out your slide rules. Can you figure out exactly to the millimeter how demented and twisted and evil and small a person has to be to harass a victim of a mass shooting? I mean, you would have to be totally off the fucking twig.
Yep.
I have a family member who's an extreme right winger. I don't know why. I've talked about him before. His whole family came from labor and unions and shit like that. And last night he posted a meme. I think it was self-made. Which said, when people ask me why I need an AR-15 with a 30-round magazine, what's happening in the world right now is why. And I said, what? Russians are going to invade the United States?
Wolverines!
Exactly.
30 to 60 feral hogs! Remember that one? I've got a little live audio, not live, but recorded audio here from Ukraine. Russian warplanes. With a missile attack into civilian residential areas.
Lovely.
God, that's sick. That's horrific.
Hang on, let me see if I can get the audio a little bit better. See, this is why I bring the Skype group in on the iPad, because I can get good audio out. But anyway, let's see if this will actually play. If I mute everybody and mute myself, maybe we can hear it. Yeah, the visual is just a view out of a window, dead of winter, Ukraine. And out of nowhere, a warplane appears. And you can see the missile leave the plane. And then the explosion a split second later.
God.
In Luhansk, one of the so-called republics that Putin recognized, fire and flames in Starobielsk. And the person writing says, Putin said he'd start a war to save Donbass and then went in to burn it.
All bets are off.
Well, that's an old Vietnam war era. We had to destroy the village in order to save it. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Videos proliferating over places like TikTok of Ukrainian soldiers all kitted out.
What time is it over there?
Oh, Jesus.
About 7 hours difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
About 2:25 a.m. Guys kissing their girlfriends goodbye.
Yeah.
But what's astonishing is what they have been able to accomplish. They've wasted 30 Russian tanks, 130 armored combat vehicles, 7 aircraft, 6 helicopters. And then the plane that Jeremy was talking about. Or no.
That's theirs. That's not the Russians.
No. That was theirs. But no, there was another report of, what was it? Maybe Sparky was talking about somewhere. But yeah, it was Sparky. I think Sparky said it was an Ilyushin carrying between 170. This was from Colonel Vindman, carrying between 170 and 220 Russian paratroops.
125 to 250.
And news makes it sound like the vast majority of those fighter jets were shot down was by one pilot from the Ukraine last night. They're calling him the ghost.
The Ukrainian engineer. The Ukrainian engineer who volunteered to blow up a bridge that he had to blow himself up to blow up.
Just read that story on Twitter.
God.
I saw another story. There's an outlying island in the Baltic that the Russians were trying to take over too. That was part of Ukraine. And they told them, surrender or we'll bomb you and kill you. And basically the last words were, fuck you.
Yeah.
And they bombed and killed them.
Hey, let me bring Ken on the stress line. Hey, Ken, are you there? Ken. You're on. Stand by.
Could we lose him?
I guess I lost him. I went to him and nobody there. Somebody said, guess who's in the chat room?
Yeah, look at that that name. You see that? Is that Ukrainian?
No, that's Ben. That's Ben.
Oh, that's Ben.
Yeah.
No, the last thing I see in the chat room is Steve.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, is that you, Steve, with the Cyrillic?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
It means I support the people of Ukraine.
Okay. Oh, that's Steve. Oh, okay.
Okay. So let me try on the Skype line again. Hey, you're on.
Sorry about that. I think you got me now.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, geez. It's been a clusterfuck. I'm trying to learn Skype, and apparently my microphone doesn't work. So, but I did want to chime in a little bit, at least to remain to the situation. I was a tollmaker. I got to train a couple Ukrainian immigrants. They lived about 100 miles east of Chernobyl, so that's when they immigrated to the United States.
Yeah, Sparky was telling us last night that they've got some people held hostage at the nuclear power plant in Chernobyl. The Russians do.
Oh, Jesus. What a crazy thing. There's radiation from Chernobyl, COVID raging, and now we got a war raging. This is fun. We live in interesting times, family.
I honestly think we're all being tested right now. The whole world's being tested.
Yeah, for sure. One is never a test.
Yeah, but who's the invigilator?
Who's the grader?
There is no who. It just is.
but who's the invigilator?
I'm not sure. I don't understand the question.
Well, an invigilator is like the person who watches. That's like a what we call in the U.S. the proctor.
The Illuminati.
Okay.
George Soros.
Yeah, George. This is all George Soros' fault. Oh, yeah. That's exactly it.
The space modulator.
It's the Jews, Henry. It's
I was just going to say.
Steve. I kind of think that there is nobody watching. There's nobody at the controls. I mean,
it's like if it is, it's like a big cosmic Homer Simpson who's at the coffee room,
at the nuclear power plant. Yeah,
some completely drunk, stoned out of his mind, former Amtrak driver. Sitting at the control console.
It's Otto the bus driver.
Snoozing.
Yeah. Or eating donuts.
But I think I was saying this on the back porch, the side porch after the show last night, but I'll repeat it here for the whole network. My niece, God bless her, up in Montana the other day on her Facebook said she's praying for the world because of the shape that it's in and all that. And I said, well, you know, quite often you'll find me on my knees conversing with the dust bunnies under my bed with pretty much the same lack of results. I don't, you know, never mind about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availing much. I there's nobody up there. There ain't nobody up there. And it's up to us to get the situations that we face in hand. And
Scott, what about all the thoughts and prayers?
First of all, thoughts. Don't even get me started on the shit that runs through the heads of most right-wing people. But prayers are like, if it makes you feel better, I guess there's some benefit to it. But even that, you quit deluding yourselves. And I don't mean Scott, to go off on a rant, but God damn it.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Oh, I know. You often so often
Wait a
do.
Minute now. Oh,
you yeah, never right. disagree.
I think there's somebody up there or out. Actually, I don't think there's, I don't have the traditional view of the Almighty. I don't think the notion of a, as I call it, sentient, all-powerful force that is everywhere and can, and either does or can control the universe. I don't think you think that's an article of faith. That's just, to me, it's a fact. The issue is that I can't get my head, that I just think he doesn't, he or she or whatever, just doesn't care. I mean, I liken it to an autistic child who once in a while says, oh shit, I made this thing. I'm going to check in and screw with some people for a while, but I don't really care. That's what
the power we are God's video game. If there is a God, we are his video game. We are his cable TV.
Well,
it could be. Why not? Why can't this be a video game?
Well, but I'm saying, I mean, I'm not joking. I this is what I really think. And I'm here. It's all evidence based and, you know, deductive logic, deductive reasoning in terms of the existence. But it's pure evidence that, I mean, certainly this, whatever this thing is, I think is everywhere. I think permeates everything. You know, you're probably thinking the Force, like in Star Trek. I don't think that's far off.
Star Wars, sir.
Oh, Star Wars, yeah. I think there's so much evidence for that. It's, I won't get into it or what I think the evidence is. But
you know,
there's almost no evidence that this thing gives a shit about us, except in some casual way. If it at some point says, you know, I should check in on my creation and see what the hell is going on.
You know, Steve, something that you said made me, and this is a spoiler alert for shows, Saint Elsewhere. Has it been off long enough to safely do a spoiler alert?
Yeah, I think so. Statute of limitations is up.
That's back when Howie Mandel was actually a person. So yeah,
he had hair.
Do you remember when the final episode and the final scene, more or less, of Saint Elsewhere aired on First Run Network TV?
No.
The older doctor in the series, Dr. Anschlatter or something like that, I forget the guy's name, even the actor's name, apparently had a child who was autistic. And the camera pans from the autistic child to a snow globe on the shelf with a hospital, the St. Elsewhere Hospital in it, a little plastic hospital. And it all was like a snow globe thing. It was all, none of it ever happened. It was all something in a child, autistic child's snow. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. Who is that I fucked up their viewing?
Shut up, Jeremy.
Jeremy, stop it. Just stop it right now. But yeah, that's something Steve said made me think of that. I hope I didn't spoil it for anybody for realsies.
Oh,
but
that's interesting, though, because I've never seen that.
No? Ed Begley Jr., Howie Mandel, who else was on that show?
Ed Begley.
Oh, the guy that was in 1,000 Clowns.
Denzel was on that show.
Denzel was on it.
Yeah, he was.
Can't think of his name.
It's Denzel. That's his name, Stock.
No. The guy's name that I'm trying to... Stop it. I'm already confused. Jason Robards, Barbara
Stop
Harris.
Stop confusing Scott. Friday. None of that.
Martin Balsam, William Daniels. William Daniels.
Was Martin Mull on that show? Martin Mull with the mustache, right?
He was
I can't imagine him on any show that was serious.
He was also, William Daniels was also in the movie, the Warren Beatty movie, Parallax View. Briefly, he was on that. That's the actor I'm talking about. Mm. He played the really stuck-up surgeon who felt he was lord and master over the hospital.
Hey, Scott, William Daniels is going to be 95 next month. Dude's still alive.
Yeah, he's still around. I think he's the only person from 1,000 Clowns, with the exception of Barry Gordon, the kid, who was 13 in the mid-60s when it was made. Hell of a movie.
Update your Deadpool now.
I wish it was streaming somewhere because you just never see it. You can get it on Blu-ray or DVD, but hell of a film.
Well, by the way, just got a note from Brendan who said, if there's a God or what the fuck, it can kiss my ass. That fucker's fucking fired.
I want to know what little Donald Trump, as a youngster, was doing at the Marble Collegiate Church in Upper Manhattan when Norman Vincent Peale was giving his message of positivity all those years ago. Old Fred Trump and old Mary Trump would totter off to church with little Donald and the other siblings in hand. Certainly some of it must have sunk in.
No. I mean, I assume the objection. Counsel assumes facts not in evidence.
So he was scribbling in the hymnals.
Oh yeah, or I don't know.
Or worse.
trying to grope his Sunday school teacher or something.
Ay.
Oh, by the way, we have a trivia question courtesy of Ron and Raleigh. Guess who runs the Judicial Crisis Network? That's tonight's trivia question.
Ralph Reed.
Well, no, I mean, I looked it up, and it's been around since 2005. It was created.
Can I guess?
It was created to hustle W's appointees.
Is it Ginny?
Well, not quite, but close. Because the aforementioned Carrie Severino, who is the current leader. clerked for, that's right, Clarence Pubes on the Coke Can Slappy Thomas.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I know.
So we know they do not have an agenda. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, not at all. Agenda.
No agenda. That's good.
No, we believe.
The leading funder of Judicial Crisis Network is called the Wellspring Committee, and it's run by Ann Corkery. It gave some $7 million to Judicial Crisis Network in 2014. Between 2012 and 2015, it reported giving JCN more than $15 million. But because they are a dark money group, Wellspring doesn't disclose where their money comes from.
Corkery sounds like something you get from watching too much Ann Coulter.
or trying to have an unnatural act with a wine bottle.
Right, yeah. I mean,
he was rushed to the emergency room.
Well, yeah. And on those rare occasions when the Dead Rush Limbaugh gets a brief break from the pineapples.
Oh, please don't say it.
That requires a session of Corkery.
Oh, Robin, listen, you and Scott tonight are in absolute rare form, I have to tell you.
Well, and nominee pushback, Matt in San Francisco writes, the folks on the right have given up any ability to speak against the nominee. After the abolishment of the 60-vote threshold and the last three nominees heralded through by Mitch and his gang, I don't give a good goddamn what any of them say. Amen. Cowbell for Matt.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a second cowbell. I may wind up ringing this bell for the rest of the night. And that's for Mark. Mark just made a miracle. A Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. Oh, my God, I can't thank you enough. The bills that are going to get paid. We are done with fundraising for the month of February. Oh. We made it out of February.
Hooray.
All right.
Hooray, thank you, hooray, Mark. Hooray. And that means that, that means that we will... the entirety of Moran Monday will be nothing but right-wing Morans from CPAC. Oh,
can
God.
We handle that?
I don't know. I may have to go and grab one of my my spare bottles of Putinka vodka.
And, or just have a barf bag nearby.
Yeah. And Ken says, thanks, Mark. The whole community says thanks. Well, Ron and Raleigh says, go deeper. You still haven't found the pony in that pile of shit. The pony in that pile of horse. I went as deep as I... No, that doesn't sound right. I don't go deep anymore.
Now, Robin, yes, please, no. Will CPAC be meeting at the National Harbor facility, the Gaylord...
I don't know. Maybe they're in Florida. I think they did it in Florida last year.
No, they're in Orlando this year, too.
Yeah, not a mask in sight. Randy Radar says, whoa, thanks, Mark. I think the whole community says that. Thank you, Mark. That's just magnificent. My God, my God. I mean, that takes so much stress off. Hey, I get to actually relax and breathe all the way to the end of the month. That's so awesome. You're gonna have to spill it, Ron. I can't. I mean, I know it's somebody sleazy and skeevy. It's not. Is it Jenny? We'll have to wait on Ron to respond. Oh, by the way, Xi Jinping, who interestingly is also taller than Vlad Putin. That dude's fucking Smeagol. Okay. Now, I was going to say a hobbit, but hobbits are nice. No, he's Smeagol.
Let me hear you sing We Represent the Lollipop League. A couple of choruses of that.
We'll... We represent it. No. China is blaming the United States for Putin invading Ukraine, saying that Washington was the culprit for fanning up flames. China has taken a responsible attitude and persuaded all parties not to escalate tensions or incite war. Those who follow the U.S.'s lead in fanning up flames and then shifting the blame onto others are truly irresponsible. Yeah. Because, of course, what China's thinking is, hey, maybe while everybody's focused on Ukraine, we can just kind of blow across the South China Sea and grab Taiwan.
Free pass?
You think they're not thinking that?
Oh, of course they are.
I feel absolutely certain.
So, Scott, you brought up the Lollipop Guild gang, right? Does that mean that Donnie's an Oompa Loompa with gigantism?
Yes.
we don't know.
Loompa doompity doo. I've got another sketchy real estate deal for you.
Donnie's an SLO.
Suspiciously large Oompa Loompa. Yes, yeah, it is suspiciously large Oompa Loompa. Okay, that gets a cowbell.
Okay. Robin, you have to admit.
No, I'm not hating on short people. Quit that, Ken.
It's been we've had a pretty good FOTSP tonight, if I do say so myself.
It's been good.
Yeah, I think it has been. It's been a good one.
It's been somber because of the war, of course, but it's been good.
I'll tell you though, and I'm not saying bad things about vertically challenged people, but there is no better entertainment for your entertainment buck than watching little people engaging in live professional wrestling.
I agree with that.
I mean, you had male.
I knew somebody who did that at one point.
Oh, my God. Oh, I'm sure they have stories to tell.
Did they grow out of it?
Oh, man.
Oh,
that's
got to
be Gnur.
Stop it. Gnur.
Those were the two wrestling highlights from my youth, watching the little people wrestle.
So bad.
And then I was going to say
regular
size wrestlers pick up Haystacks Calhoun, all 612 pounds of him, and body slam him, and he goes through the ring. I mean, breaks the fucking ring wide open, like you have a haystack shaped hole in the ring, and they have to suspend the proceedings until.
Were you watching with Aunt Emma? Was Aunt Emma there with her
smokes? Yeah, you sure as hell was.
Was Aunt Emma there with her smokes and her beer, going, "Kill him! Kill him!"
No, that was Aunt Effie. She was
Aunt Effie.
I'm
sorry.
Kill him. Stretch his eyes out. He's got something in his diaphragm.
Where's that creature that held up a snowball in Congress and said climate change is fake? Because I kind of need him right now. I mean, it was 55 here yesterday.
Was that Trent Lott? Oklahoma?
No. Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma.
That was Jim Inhofe. That was Jim Inhofe.
Inhofe, yeah.
Yeah, it was 55. By the time I went to bed, it was 14. And now I'm looking at it a fucking foot of snow.
Jeremy, so before it's
clearly
over.
Fake.
Before it's over, we're going to have lobster people coming up out of the sewers lobbing avocados at us. Oh. Beware, my children, beware.
Oh, that's great. That's
Stephen
great.
King on bad acid couldn't come up with what's going to be next on the agenda.
It's lobster people lobbing avocados.
Yeah.
Scott's greatest hits.
Yeah,
man.
I heard Skeeve. I heard your laugh, and I knew Scott had gotten to you.
Yeah, Miss Karen came home about 15 minutes ago, and I needed to speak to her.
White-eyed lobster people.
Well, hey, to Miss Karen
with the avocados.
Okay, I'll tell her. It looks like Rick has his hand up, or did you already address that?
No, hey. Please go.
How y'all doing?
Hey, Billable.
Hey,
how you
Rick.
Doing, buddy?
Yeah, it's that lobster people comment. Did that get a cowbell? That's funny.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, that got a cowbell.
Okay, just checking. Yeah, the official nominator for cowbells, I guess I am. I become. But, yeah, this is, I mean,
Putin seems to be totally off the hook. I mean, threatening to bring the space station down on U.S. territory and then change his mind and say, well, maybe India or China. It's like, what the hell is he?
Is he terminally ill, guys? Is he terminally ill? Is that what this is?
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe he's pissed off because he got a cancer diagnosis. Maybe that's it. You know, and so everybody else, hey, you know?
So you're all coming with me.
Yeah. I don't know. It's been a crazy, it's been a crazy, like, the last 3 days. I mean, the war started just as I was about to leave for my, Tuesday night pool league? It was Wednesday night pool league. Yeah. And it's like 7 p.m. That's when the rockets started pounding Ukraine. But, I'm hoping against hope for like a really severe weather pattern to like set in over the whole of Ukraine, like, kind of like a slushy, sleet kind of mix, and get, this is after the Russian ground advance starts, to get them basically all mired in the mud, and then they'll be sitting ducks. We'll see. I think the Nazis had some hard times in Ukraine, if I recall my history, trying to get to the oil fields. Was it around Crimea where the oil fields were? And I'm trying to think where, Stalingrad, where they basically, that was the maximum extent of their advance, if I recall.
Yeah, the Germans couldn't get past there. That's right. That was where the beginning of the end was.
Yeah.
Stalingrad was where the big tank battle was.
What's that?
The big tank battle was outside of Stalingrad near Kursk.
Right. And is Stalingrad, is it a part of Ukraine or?
No, it's Tajikistan. It's Tajikistan's capital. Now,
I thought that was St. Petersburg, or is that Leningrad?
St. Petersburg was Leningrad.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Stalingrad's in the south.
Yeah, Stalingrad's in the south on the way to the oil fields, because Hitler decided to go south before he went north to Moscow because he wanted to get oil for his army, for his advancing army.
Right.
And that's, I think, where he got bogged down.
Yes, most certainly.
Well, and of course, Randy Radar pointed out earlier that Stalin tried to starve Ukraine to death. And by the way, just a couple of notes. Ron and Raleigh following up, just a quick interruption. Sorry, I didn't mean to walk on your billable. But
no worries.
The evil spider at the center of the web of Judicial Crisis Network is Leonard Leo.
Oh, that motherfucker! Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But Ron also said. Subject line, Haystacks Calhoun. I still laugh at the time Scott said that old Haystacks had let himself go at the end of his life when he ballooned to 675 pounds. No fat shaming, just really let himself go. Oh, Jesus, Scott.
Yeah, and he had a foreign object up his armband, too, he used to pull out. Remember?
I'll have to look it up, but I think wasn't he from West Virginia?
I'm not sure. The Crusher Blackwell is from Stone Mountain, Georgia. I remember him. He was a Haystack spinoff, another big old guy. He used to pound on people.
Haystack stopped going to the gym. Is that what happened to him?
Yeah.
Right. He quit Jenny Craig.
He ate everybody in the gym.
Oh, man. True story. I ran into Crusher Blackwell at the Oak. It was one of them all you can eat buffet bars. It might have been Western Sizzler, one of them. Man, the staff about to shit pants. They look like they're about to shit their pants, man.
Born August 3rd, 1934, William D. Calhoun, McKinney, Texas.
Oh, McKinney, Texas. Well, I'm sorry.
30 miles north of Dallas.
And that dude. Crusher Blackwell, he must have went back to that food bar and loaded up four or five plates at least five times. I know they were glad to see him.
Did they
go.
Throw him out?
What era did he wrestle in?
Crusher Blackwell, right after the Haystacks era. It was kind of a spinoff. In fact, they were like tag team partners at one time.
Well, I can imagine that. Like the neighbors upstairs where he used to live.
The big splash, that was his signature move. He just be laying there flat, and he'd, dive on you.
Well,
now let me ask you this: did the little person wrestler ever have to go after Haystacks Calhoun?
Did they ever have a match?
That was like the match before the big haystack battle.
Okay.
Well, they note that he did a lot of wrestling at in the D.C. area, so that sort of jibes with Scott's memory.
Yeah,
I used to go to those matches at D.C. a lot as a kid.
Yeah, you grew up in Maryland.
Yes, and then we went to the Civic Center and the Capitol Center to see that. It was very entertaining. Quite a crowd.
It would be on the football field of the George Washington High School.
They would have various venues.
Yeah, Haystack, Ron and Raleigh reminds us, Haystack, you, for an object, Haystacks used a horseshoe on a chain.
Jesus.
Hey,
Scott, how much were the tickets? How much were the tickets back then?
Oh, I would imagine maybe 75 cents for adults, and children under 12 got in free or something.
That's amazing.
Did they let Aunt Effie in with her beer?
No, Aunt Effie didn't. She liked to watch them on TV, but she wouldn't. She wouldn't go to the matches. She did. She turned the volume down on the TV because she didn't like to hear them groaning in agony. Sit there with their stack of egg salad sandwiches and a couple of cans of Hams beer, and she was set to go, baby.
You know, those guys had grit. They were true showmen. They would carry like razors in their gloves and cut their own foreheads for the show.
Yeah,
that's crazy, man. We want you to cut your head tonight, so you bleed all over the place. Oh, okay. Yeah, where do I sign up for that?
Yeah, Brandon says, Haystacks Calhoun, Bruno Smartino. That was fun to watch on a Saturday night.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there was two ways, Steve. There's the easy way and the hard way. Some people prefer the hard way. It's a real knock to the forehead, a real punch to break you open.
Yep.
God, what a night we've had. This has been a dandy. Somebody chimed in on the stress line. Are you there?
I am.
Jude?
Hello. Yes.
Hey, Jude. How are you, dear?
Oh, hi, Jude.
Hi.
Hey, Jude.
I wanted to thank the three of you, although I don't know about the word conjure me up, but, you know, because with these fascist Christians, you know, that would...
Burn the witch! Burn the witch! Burn some sense into her!
You don't live in, like, a genie bottle, do you?
No,
Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay.
Well, what I wanted to... I waited till the last part of the program because I know that your interchange with each other is... you know, is important, you know, to voice everything going on. And for those that maybe, you know, might not want to hear what it is I have to share, that's okay too. And kind of just that thought about just let things be. But with, you know, Robin, yesterday you brought up about how there weren't very many women calling. There weren't any women calling in. And not that it was exclusive just to men, but there's always a season for things. And for some reason, the Friday on the Front Porch has kind of been a, you know, just that kind of forum. And, you know, I think about Tracy and, you know, Faith and, you know, Lady B and Shorty and so many women that have so much going on that I thought I would just give a perspective just from where I am as a woman and how come I haven't been an active participant. Well, you know, sensitivity, because Robin, you have that really precious kind of duality in your life, that physical journey that you've done in the male form and yet embrace the feminine. And now that's become a reality. And the blending, that's why I wrote you earlier, the blending of how you can do both of that, because you can
take someone on it. I'm not trying to blend anything, Jude. I'm trying to get away from anything guy that I can. It's just, since this is a radio program, and since it's really difficult for me to maintain my voice in a more feminine pitch for three solid hours, you know, I wind up falling off the vocal wagon from time to time.
Well, maybe you're misinterpreting when I use the word blend. I mean blend in terms of where your journey has taken you to right now. and your ability to be so articulate and so gifted with so much knowledge and embracing now that feminine aspect of who you are and the reality since your transition. I wanted to affirm that, and that gives me great strength, because the sensitivity that women have, that feminine aspect. Sorry, I got a trumper go by. That feminine aspect does need to be part of the horn, and even though some might find it annoying or irritating, it's like a family. We have different aspects in who we are. And the ability to be able to acknowledge each other and see the differences, but also be really willing to kind of embrace that voice and that inflection. I think that's what will help the horn sustain and grow even further. So that's why I waited to the end of the program.
Well, I appreciate that, Jude. I really, really do. And this isn't easy. But it is something I've wanted all my life. The only problem with late transition is that there's a lot of socialization that takes place and a lot of, well, endocrine changes that are irreversible. But I'm doing everything I can to get to the other side. I can't wait until spring so I can work on my appearance a little bit more, a lot more. And I am actively trying to ponder how to bring in a Women's Voices Only program like once a week. I don't know what day, you know, maybe on a Thursday. But I think that would be good and beneficial. And I hope we can do it, but you know, if I don't have any participation, then it's just another filler roster. So,
well, I'll support you. I'll support you in my meager way, and not to exclude the. Sorry, you know, I have to be outside when I talk to you because I don't have my security blanket tied to be able to know if listening on the other end. But you're there, and it's so, you know, when you, all that's going on with Ukraine, you know, the killings here in the States, white supremacy, it's a quagmire of so much. But to be able to connect with individuals that really want to hear us and would like to be friends with us in this distant forum, that's extraordinary, affirming, and powerful. And I wanted to thank all of you tonight on the line and those that have written in. And I'm just, you know, it's like so many of us, we're just tired.
Yeah.
But I'm grateful.
Spiritual exhaustion is a real thing. And that's why, I'm trying to present this information in such a way that it's not just 3 hours of trauma. I think I'm viewing things differently than I used to. I've always been pro peace, but I'm having, you know, the way I view it, the perspective, the lens through which I see this now, is entirely different as I am now.
Mm-hmm. And I can only understand that by, you know, having to hear your words, you know, being open to that.
Well, I appreciate everything you said, Jude. I think it is like you are exceedingly kind and exceedingly open to an attempt to understand. And I am grateful for it. And I thank you so much.
Well, that old expression, just kind of handing it forward, you know, lifting it up.
Yes.
Jude, thank you for joining in.
Oh, and who is this?
Christopher.
This is Chris. Christopher.
Chris. And Chris, where do you live?
I live in Portland, just south. I live in Milwaukee, just south of Portland.
Oh, gosh.
And what part of Washington? Are you near Spokane?
No, I'm just outside Seattle. I'm 30 minutes from Seattle. I would love to. It's too bad we didn't have connections during Black Lives Matter, you know, because the boots were down there a couple of times a week for 2 months. That would have been absolutely glorious. But thank you for inviting me to come on earlier.
I'm glad you joined us. And and to pile on all the stuff you mentioned, I mean, don't forget about what happened in Portland over the weekend too. The shootings at the rally.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Horrific. Well, horrific stuff, and it's so hard to deal with it all.
Hey, Jude.
Yeah.
This is Scott down in San Diego. I am so glad that you called in because you kind of offer a calm antidote to some of the testosterone-driven rowdiness that we're prone to, me chief among them. You know how I get. Too much coffee, that's what it is. But really, seriously, you provide a goal for us in who and how we ought to be as far as getting in touch with our more calmer, peaceful, gentle sides of our nature. So, and you weren't doing it in a shame on you sort of thing. You were just doing it, and that's the beauty of it. So there, that's all I got.
That's very kind, Scott, because I often wondered maybe if I might be an irritation to you. And that means a lot to have you say that. So thank you. Thank you.
Well, you're more than welcome. And it takes a lot to irritate me. I grew up in Catholic schools, and I've been married and divorced twice and had a brain tumor. So, I mean, if I'm not irritated now, I'll never be.
There's a lot of boys being boys on the back porch, Jude, right?
There's a what? I'm sorry?
There's a lot of boys being boys on the back porch, right?
Oh, well, hey, that's fun. I mean, that could be fun.
Yeah, we do have a good time. But level setting us is great too, you know, and you're definitely a level setting force. And we thank you.
There's so many
rowdy, you know, so we'll try and tone it down, I guess, if needed.
Well, all that having been said, I'm going to close off the live broadcast portion of the program. Jude, I am so glad that you called in, and I hope you have an absolutely wonderful weekend.
Thank you. And the same to all of you.
Thank you, Jude.
Good night,
Jude. Take care. And to the rest of the group, thank you for a rousing Friday on the front porch. Thanks to everybody, and thank you, Mark, for making it possible for us to have a fundraising free last day of February. Thank you so much. Thank you to Rico for the kind challenge. Thank you to Joey and Giraffe for the challenges this week, and Junior and Joey to the Kangaroo. Thank you. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room and in the old holler tree where at we keep the extraordinary, ordinary round table. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Brand new fresh Malloy. I know because I'll be doing it coming around at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. All time zones in between in the great globe round. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the people of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Please take a moment, reach out, please, and ask your member of the House of Representatives to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It means the world to Appalachia. And, of course, even though the CDC is saying, hey, 70% of y'all can take your mask off now, might not be the smartest thing in the world to do. If you haven't gotten your booster, get it, please. Keep wearing your mask. Test as needed. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, be super careful. This thing is still a killer. And I want our whole community together when we are shed of this, if we ever are. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, "That Ketanji Brown Jackson, she just covered up in dark money," avoid that woman like the plague, because she is. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. Later.